Excitement is building for the 27th annual Ducky Derby presented by Reading East Rotary. Over $4 million given to this community. Adopt your duck for $5 and get in on the race for youth development and substance abuse prevention. 100% of the ticket price goes back to the nonprofit seller. Everyone wins. And you could be the winner of the grand prize, a houseboat vacation from Shasta Marina. Second prize is a San Francisco Giants weekend courtesy of InterWest Insurance. See you there September 25th at 1:30 p.m.
This is Joe McKenna from CloudWise Academy. I learned a lot the hard way about internet marketing. Every month, I'll help you take control of how the internet impacts your business and your revenue. You'll hear the latest tech news from the digital world, but most importantly, get your tech and marketing questions answered. Learn what you need to know to manage the tech side of your business as effectively as you manage everything else. It's your chance to get those important questions answered. Join us for the Digital Revolution Radio Show every fourth Wednesday at KCNR 1460.
Start your week out right with some football tailgate fun at Wind River Resort and Casino inside Element. Every Monday, come on down for some action-packed football and catch your favorite team on any of our 18 screens. Win a pair of Raiders tickets, prizes, a spin for $100 or nothing, or $599 kickoff for cash. Nowhere else in town offers this. More games, more ways to win, more prizes, more football fun. Grub on our stadium snack menu, half off until end of halftime. For details, log on to windriver.com. Football is better at the river. Play our $100,000 pro football promotion at Wind River Resort and Casino. It's a fun, easy, and fully automated pick'em-style football promotion. Simply swipe your River Club card, make your picks, and collect a receipt with your own weekly picks, prior week's results, and year-to-date standings. Top weekly picks win a share of $500.
Plus weekly drawings.
Top season final winners win a share of $5,000. Earn bonus plays every day.
$100,000.
For official rules and details, log on to windriver.com. Football is better at the river.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning and welcome to Sovereign Minds. The show's going to be a little bit different today. It's Robert Smith, Red, and myself, Linda Kent, in the studio this morning with Bob Martin.
It is. What happened to Mark?
Mark is somewhere asking the same thing.
Are we? Yeah.
Well, he could.
Where am I? Why is this dollar pinned to my shirt?
So we'll still have a lot of fun, cover a lot of territory and information.
And there's a lot going on.
Yes, there is.
First, I think we got Katie Grimes.
We do.
Yeah.
And she's holding the line. And do you want to introduce her a little bit? You know her pretty well.
Yeah, Katie is diehard slayer of legislative dragons down there in Sacramento. She writes for Flash Report, Canadian Free Press, several other things. She is a dogged, determined investigative journalist, probably one of the best in the state, especially when it comes to our governor and what's going on and getting after him. I always have a picture and a hope that Jerry Brown cringes a little bit when he hears her name. So
I'd like to be a fly on the wall for that one. You mean she actually does journalism?
Yeah, she's fantastic. She gets to the bottom of it. She brings it out to people, and she's paid the price for it. Where they actually tried taking her press credentials away from her, and she fought that. And so she's got a little bit of a story to tell about that too.
Oh, she's a renegade, also, huh?
Oh, yeah.
And with that, are you with us, Katie?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm terrific. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Yeah, thanks for coming on.
Kind of excited to have you here.
I'm very excited.
Well, where shall we start?
You got anywhere particular you wanted to start this morning, Katie? Or, you know, I kind of wanted to hear an update on what was going on with your press credentials and kind of the new legislation that they're trying to float through because of that, where you're basically looking at having to be licensed through the state to be quote-unquote press.
That's exactly it. This was such an interesting process. And Red, I know you followed what was going on.
Oh, yeah.
To get press credentials to cover the California legislature, one has to apply formally through the California Correspondents Association, which is an arm of the legislature. I call it the media cartel, because clearly they're there to prevent anybody whose opinion they don't like from actually being part of the credentialed media. And my hassles with them started back in 2010. So this was very interesting that it took them 6 years, but they finally did deny my press credential. But, you know, I did what any constitutional conservative would do, and I called the Pacific Legal Foundation. I have some friends there, and we fought it because it was a true violation of First Amendment rights in that it was total disparate treatment. And once we filed an appeal through the proper channels, it became quite evident to them that they would have a nasty, ugly media fight on their hand, and so they did finally grant my credentials, grant them again, and I'm supposed to be thoroughly grateful, I suppose. yeah, I know, whatever that means. What's interesting, what's interesting, though, is that there is this this backdoor media licensing that they're now trying to push through, which is ugly, ugly, ugly on so many levels. And you're familiar with the Center for Medical Progress, the group that did all the undercover work on the Planned Parenthood facilities.
Yeah.
Oh, that was just horrid to have to follow. Well, the legislature decided that they want to make it illegal for media to do those undercover videos. But what they did is a huge carve-out of the legislation for mainstream media. So what they did is an amendment at the very, very end of the legislative process only says social media cannot do this. And what they defined, you know, I mean, mainstream media is newspaper, television, and radio. Social media is new media. The rest of us who actually publish things online and citizen journalists and bloggers who are the ones who are actually doing the real work on the ground now. And so by de facto, that in turn constitutes the legislature determining what a media organization is.
Yeah, it's who wants to feed at the table, who's going to say what we want, when we want, and then you'll have access.
Exactly.
It's, you know, it's kind of taking the system that's been in place for a while and just formalizing it in a lot of ways.
You're right. And certainly, given what I went through, you are right. You know, they made it very clear to me that I have to kiss the ring in order to be allowed into the Capitol. Although it didn't work out that way, that's
right. Didn't quite go along with that one, huh?
Well,
No.
It's what's fascinated me is since I've kind of taken up this quest myself of trying to do citizen journalism, is when you do shine the light on them, they tend to scatter like roaches looking to get back under the fridge.
They do. You're right. And they clam up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It does take somebody there to shine that big spotlight on them and go, hey, look at what's going on here. Because otherwise, they'll just keep on doing
what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
You're absolutely right. What they do, it's really interesting, too. And I've watched it happen from inside the Capitol. You know, I attend the legislative committee hearings, and, you know, the bills have to go through various committees, which is the public vetting process, supposedly. And I always found that instead of just covering the legislature, if you cover what's happening in the committees, just exposing some of the ridiculous or really dangerous bills can actually get them killed. And sure enough, as you point out, you shine some light on some of what they do and what they actually say. And some of the best quotes I've ever gotten have been in these small committee hearings when they think nobody's paying attention. And you expose them for their, I mean, it's pure Marxism. These people, most of them in the Capitol, are absolute diehard Marxists. You expose them, and they just scurry.
Well, I think they've learned to be patient. They've learned that they can't win in direct confrontation, so if you expose them, it's almost like they take their ball and they go home for a couple of legislative sessions, and they try to sneak back in the door a different way.
That's exactly what they do. And one of the things that I've highlighted, and we're actually going to be voting on this November on a ballot initiative, is the gut and amend process. And that's how they've done it. You know, if I say I highlight or another journalist highlights some really ugly, horrid bill that then gets killed or gets shelved, what they'll do is gut another bill, you know, days before the legislative session ends, put the language of the horrible bill in the other bill, not run it through the public vetting process, force a vote, and lo and behold, it's on the governor's desk.
Mm-hmm. And that's
you're right.
One of the things that they're attempting to do with this kind of, I don't know what else to call it other than the California version of Social Security that they want, where they're going to force everybody that doesn't have a 401k to pay in to, and that was a giant gut and amend job. They took something that went through committee and processing, ripped it out, shoved that garbage in there, and off it goes.
Isn't that illegal to be doing it that way?
You know, it should be, but it's a bit of a loophole in the legislative process. And both parties, you know, depending on who's been in power, the Republicans haven't been in power for a while, but back when they were, they also abused the process.
Yep.
And gutted and amended bills that they couldn't legitimately get through. So that's why on the ballot we have, I'm trying to remember which proposition it is. Before we're done, I'll confirm for you. But it says that bills have to be in print for 72 hours before they can be voted on. It's not a lot of time, but at least it's something. It stops this really ugly, disturbing, frankly, a complete... abuse of the system. It stops it.
Yeah, and that's because I've seen an acceleration of that where I'll go through and read the legislative news or read the legislative updates and, you know, they passed such and such and, you know, I'm sitting there going, when the hell did that go through committee or when did that get, you know, where did that come from? And it's a gut and amend bill.
Exactly. Frankly, that's how they're legislating now. I used to be able to stop bills by highlighting them in the committee process. I recently looked at my husband and just shook my head and said, I don't think I'm doing that anymore. They just completely use the gut and amend process now to push through all of the bills that they really want signed into law.
Yeah, that's I heard one legislator even refer to them as really they're just holding places for the real legislation. They're just
That's exactly it. And those are called, they have a process that they call spot bills. And again, both parties do this. They each get, each Senate and Assembly each get 40 bills a session that they can call spot bills. And they are just placeholder bills. And they just get assigned a number. They've got no language in them. And so if it's not a gut and amend, they've got these 40 additional bills they can just drop language into and then, vote on. Oh, it's horrid.
Yeah, it is. And I think you're referring to Assembly Bill 1671.
Yes, and it's sitting on the governor's desk right now.
Yay.
Yeah.
along with 890 other really bad bills. We're going to talk about that tomorrow.
Yeah, wow. And you...
890.
Yes.
Yeah, you will be here in Redding, California tomorrow.
Yes.
Evening.
Yes, I will.
And looking forward to that. And, you know, anybody that wants to know what's going on with the state of California from the inside and from somebody that's not afraid to pull punches with it They're, you know, not afraid to throw punches, does not pull punches. Come see Katie tomorrow night at the Reading Patriots.
Yeah.
And that's, I can never remember the new address.
3276 Pacelli Lane.
Thank you.
Yeah. And she actually gives us the truth and to what really is going on down there, regardless of party lines. And that's what we need, because there's just so much whitewash going on and cover up at all levels that we have to get in both parties. Yeah, it's not one party or the other. Unfortunately, it's across the board, and that's the only way we can find out to kind of start taking back our country and our state and our cities. Is we got to kind of know the truth of what's really going on with these people.
Yeah, well, that's. I mean, you want to figure out why is California so bad off? Well, it's because we're treated like a crash test dummy, and we are a crash test dummy for every bad piece of legislation that the left can think of, or the stupidity of the right on some of their things too. Yeah. I don't know. Some of the other things that you were covering too that, you know, seems to have just kind of gone by the wayside and been forgotten about by the mainstream media: rampant election fraud in California once again.
Yes. This probably scares me as much as anything. The day of the California primary, June 7th, I was getting text messages, phone calls, emails. People were messaging me on Facebook saying, "Oh my God, I got to my election place. And they told me I'm not a registered Republican. They told me I'm a declined to state voter. In California, it's no party preference." And so I thought, uh-oh, this is, they're messing with Republicans in the state. Well, the Reader's Digest condensed version was that wasn't it at all. I think that was just cover. What really happened was new voters, young voters, were the ones that were being targeted, because very, very clearly the Democrat Party, the DNC, I believe, had to throw the election in California for Hillary instead of Bernie. And all the polling leading up to the California primary had shown it was potentially a Bernie landslide. And so all of the voter fraud was done really to make sure that Hillary won. And the majority of those, no party preference or decline to state ballots, I think just disappeared.
Yeah, wow. Where are they? That's in the coming federal election, what we're asking everybody to do is hold on to your receipt stub. You get a receipt stub, whether you mail it in or whether you go in and you physically vote. Hold that receipt stub, and after the election, you go down there to the clerk's office and you make them show you that your ballot counted. Mm-hmm. And you flood them with thousands of people going down there, "Here's my receipt, where is it?
Right. Where's my
Prove
vote?
It.
Yeah.
And with that, we do have a caller on the line, Dar in Palo Cedro. You have a comment for Katie?
I have a couple comments. Regarding these bills on his desk, wasn't it Doug LaMalfa who said when he went down there that he was going to start going through all the old bills and probably getting rid of some of these old bills that are laying around? But they just keep on putting more out there. I mean, there are so many bills that we have in California. And my other comment is, I don't think we have a Republican Party in California. I think it's like a Democratic Party, and then we've got the Communist Party. And that's just the way I feel. Okay, thanks.
Well, thanks for calling in, Dar. And yes, that's probably very true. I don't know if there's a difference there right now, you know?
Well, that it's kind of an apt statement in a lot of ways. It's almost like the socialists and communist lights and that ilk have kind of pushed the Democrats out of the Democratic Party, push the Democrats into the Republican Party, and push the Republicans out here to all of us that are looking around going, "Whoa, what happened?
Yeah.
Where did this come from?"
It seems like that. One of the things I'm going to highlight tomorrow evening is how many of the bills I share with you that were passed also received Republican votes.
Yep.
And it will shock you, absolutely shock you. But there's a reason, and we'll talk about that.
Well, the ones that we've encouraged people to do, and, you know, when we discuss the Republican candidates in California, which is usually a short discussion because there's not a lot of them, is, you know, they go, oh, well, he voted right on this, and he voted right on that, and voted right. You say, okay, when it's overwhelmingly going one way or the other, it's very easy to vote yes or no. What you want to look at is where your guy's vote was when it was a close vote, when it was within, you know, 3 to 5 votes one way or the other, which way did they go?
Yeah. Exactly.
And you always hear, you know, I had to vote that way, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what
I... Yeah. I had to vote for that tax increase, said the Republican who ends up getting kicked out of office.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's absolutely, you know, and that's one of the things we're going to talk about is how many of these are tax increase bills that Republicans voted on. And that, you know, is, that's, don't all of them sign the tax pledge, the Grover Norquist tax pledge, and then they go to Sacramento, not all of them, of course, and so many of them end up signing tax increases, signing on the tax increases. And that's just an absolute no-no for Republicans. That's one of the very premises of our party platform.
Absolutely. But how quickly those things go out the window.
Yep.
You know, that's one of our biggest disappointments, at least for me on a personal level as a private citizen voter, is Ted Gaines. I mean...
Oh, huge disappointment.
To me, the guy is a complete schleprock who has accomplished absolutely zero in his time in office, and the only thing he's interested in is keeping himself and his wife in office and playing musical chairs to do that. He doesn't care about accomplishing anything or doing anything, yet because of the name recognition and the R after his name in the North State, he'll be elected cycle after cycle after cycle.
It's particularly damaging, too, given, you know, each senator represents about 1 million people, and he's taking up very, very valuable space. And that's why I've always been highly suspicious of why he continues to take up that space and why they continue, you know, they'll have his wife run for the seat next. And it's got to stop because I am very suspicious about who's behind keeping them in office.
Well,
which
that,
we need to be, yeah.
We've had some questions about that, too. And you know, been looking at pretty hard at Mr. Gaines and some of the things that he's really into.
Oh, yeah. Good.
He wants insurance commissioner. He wants, now he's after state board of equalization. He wants to be where he can manipulate things for him and his buddies.
Exactly. He's one of the worst kinds of politicians. You know, we expect it from the other side. It's abhorrent when it's on our side.
Yeah, he's a placeholder. He's a gut and amend a politician.
You got it.
Yeah.
And frankly, I think he needs to be exposed. You'd think that the mainstream media would be interested in exposing a Republican, but so far they've, you know, kind of looked the other way.
Well, I think he serves their purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's,
which is why I'm suspicious about who's really backing him.
Well, that's what got me into looking at close votes was Ted Gaines, because everybody said, oh, well, he votes this way the right way and they'll write this. But you look at votes for him that were, you know, within 3 to 5 votes sway one way or the other, he ain't voting the right way.
Yeah.
He's voting against the party interests. Or he's abstaining with critical votes that would have been needed to sway it one way or the other.
And if he pulls that Barack Obama technique of present.
Yeah. So.
And if people don't know that, they're not seeing the true picture of what's really going on down there and how it's affecting us and the damage that's being done to all of us because of it.
Yeah.
Exactly. He is not helping the North State at all. I think he's worse than a hindrance. I think he's caused great damage.
I would agree with that, too. And one of the reasons that I brought that up is to tie into what we were talking about a little bit ago with the rigged elections. Is if the elections are rigged on that scale, how can we trust even the local elections that we have in our primaries and things like that?
It's a fair question. question. I think the people have to be the ones to expose it and be willing to fight the local registrar and, you know, and get the local media in and, you know, and prove that something hinky is really going on. You know, in one of my early articles about this right after the primary, I talked to a woman in Southern California who, you know, went to her polling station, was told she was no longer a Republican, and she said, bull, and she showed them her, you know, her party, you know, card, and even showed them her sample ballot, which identified her as a Republican. So you know this had to have happened within the Secretary of State's office between the time they sent out the the sample ballots and the actual date of the election. And then she demanded to speak to whoever was in charge and was told by the three women who were working that particular polling station, you know, oh, that's not going to do you any good. We were flown in from Rhode Island to work this election.
Wow.
What? Yeah. Yes. So on that note, what I would say in your communities is make sure that the volunteers are actual community members and not replacements, because what we found in L.A. County in 2014 is in the, you know, 4,600 election, the polling districts, that most of the ballot station volunteers suddenly were up and walked out. Well, I'm sure that didn't happen at all, but they were immediately replaced, and that was the election that got former State Senator Alex Padilla elected Secretary of State. So the election fraud went back that far to get him into the Secretary of State's office.
So how would we go about doing that and checking to make sure that they are from our community?
Start talking to your elections offices now.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll have that information, who's supposed to be at the polling places already at this time?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I would sure start working on it now and making sure that they know you're on top of it.
Yeah, that's. I know that Election Integrity Project was, you know, just overwhelmed with complaints and hit with different things. And, you know, it was almost like it was a full frontal assault on them as they got hit with so much. It was like, okay, where do we start?
Right. It was. And they are the ones that I have interviewed several times for these articles, and they are overwhelmed, and frankly, that's the tactic by the left. The other thing that is very, very frustrating is that they are required to purchase the various counties' election materials after the election, including whatever they want from the Secretary of State. Well, when did our public records get, I mean, those are supposed to be public records. We're not supposed to have to purchase them. They're supposed to be available for us to see at any time.
Yeah, we
and that also shows
them.
You what our legislature has done.
Yeah. Hey, Katie, we got to run off to a break here real quick, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Yeah, if you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Grew up dreaming of being a cowboy and loving the cowboy ways, pursuing the life of my high-riding heroes. I burned up my childhood days. Modern day drifter, don't you hold on to nothing too long. Just take what you need from the ladies that lead them with the words of a sad country song. My heroes have always been cowboys. Still are, it seems. sadness or charm. And one step and back on themselves and their slow-moving dreams. Cowboys are special with their own brand of misery. It'll be long, too long to die from the cold in the arms of a madman, knowing well that your best days are gone.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, offers the best in coffee and other drinks at Espresso Joe's. Lattes, cappuccinos, espressos, tea, and much more are offered at great prices and even better taste. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California. That includes all types of tobacco and accessories, and a walk-in humidor that is awesome with variety and taste. Tobacco and Brew, a better-known business that supports our community. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Tobacco and Brew.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Like many working women, I have a hectic schedule. My daily radio show, stage performances, and time with Carl leave almost no time to focus on myself. And I know a lot of us are in that same situation. We need me time to maintain mind, body, and spirit. And that's where Wellgate Sports Club really shines. I love the aquatic training program at Wellgate Sports Club. Kathleen Cowling's Aqua Aerobics focuses on cardiac training through water resistance and buoyancy that features safe, low-impact movements. Wellgate Sports Club's saltwater pool is a unique way to get back to my body, feeling muscle groups grow stronger. Kathleen at Wellgate Sports Club helped me to find my new limits, and they can help you too. Call Wellgate Sports Club today at 768-1205, or you can check out schedule information online at wellgatesportsclub.com. At Wellgate, self-care is the best form of health care. Wellgate Sports Club, Eureka Way at Court in Reading.
Riders in the Sky are coming back to Reading's historic Cascade Theater this month for another serving of fun. America's favorite yodeling cowboys will take you on a thrilling ride to yesteryear as they salute iconic star Roy Rogers. Riders in the Sky at the Cascade Theater in Reading, Saturday, September 24th. Take the kids. Take the whole family. Tickets at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460. On Monday, we welcome Reading City Council candidate Julie Winter. Let's find out how Julie wants to change the direction of Reading and her methods for doing that. Also, weekend update and more information on the protest of pro athletes. All of this Monday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Blinded by the light. Wrapped up like a douche, another runner in the night. Blinded by the light. Wrapped up like a douche, another runner in the night. Blinded by the light. Madman drove and rumbled engines in the summer with a teenage diplomat.
And we're back. Sovereign Minds, and we got Katie Grimes on the line, and we're talking about all the stuff nobody else likes to talk about.
Is there something wrong with me if I think I understand what that guy's talking about in that song? it brings back some memories.
Yeah, it brings back a lot of memories. That's going back in time just a little bit, you know? I don't know. Maybe they knew something that we should have known.
I just remember real late at night and driving real fast.
We'll leave it alone right there, you know? Not that any of the rest of us ever did anything like that back in those days.
Yeah,
sure, you know?
I recommend it to anybody now that I'm a dad and I have to worry about my kids. Oh, God.
Yeah, getting to that age where they're going to be driving fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, so with that. During the break, Robert and I were talking, Katie, about this election thing and getting people maybe in places like the assessor's office and voter registration that we never thought about getting our people, so to speak, in those places so we know what's going on.
Yeah, who are the district captains? Who's overseeing the polling sites? Do we know any of that?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, we probably, most of the people don't even think about it.
Well, when the election before, not this last primary election, but the last general election, I went to my polling place, and there's three signs for the same candidate across the street from my polling place.
Right.
And I'm sitting there going, you can't do that. You know, it's, you know, you got to be your designation. And they tried saying, well, it's private property. You can do whatever you want on it.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
Only if it's me.
I heard a lot of those stories from people that, you know, it was very, very clear that the polling stations were being run by, you know, by Democrats pushing certain candidates.
Mm-hmm. And we've seen some of that here, too.
Yeah.
And my favorite response was, is because I kept bugging about the sign. I kept calling and calling until I finally aggravated somebody. And I finally got told, okay, we'll have somebody take it out tomorrow. Okay. What good does that do?
Yeah, brilliant.
So, and another one that I wanted to talk to you about, Katie, is the price that it is to register yourself on a ballot. The way that California is set up, when you have a heavily populated district, you have to pay to register yourself on one or two county ballots, whereas our legislators up here in the north are already out of pocket quite a bit more. Like one of our legislators has to register for 11 different counties.
And, oh, interesting.
And the overburdening of the pricing on that, where Southern California legislators, you got to pay one time to get on the ballot in your district. Up here, you got to pay for 11 different counties.
That is interesting, and I hadn't thought of that.
And
yeah,
that's,
is it any wonder that the North State, wants to break off?
None.
You have no representation, and you're constantly being assaulted.
We are. It's like we're an abused, we're the redheaded stepchild, and we keep getting told it's for our own good.
Yeah, exactly. And even, your good representatives are constantly fighting an uphill battle.
They are. It's, not to be vulgar, but I refer to it as pissing into the wind.
Yeah.
That's what they're stuck doing. And then the legislature tells them to start singing in a shower. And it's just not...
It's not working well at all.
It's not working at all. It's the opposite of working. But we face things like that, and the Sacramento legislature twists things like that, you got to pay for 11 counties before you're even on the ballot. That is not fair and equal at all.
No, it's not. Not even.
And, that's one of these things that I'm really trying to get out there and urge is, this election, save your voting stub. And the day after, go down there and make them prove, flood their office. Have a line out the door and around the corner and up the street and need traffic control for voters going, I want to see my ballot counted. I want to see my
ballot. And, Red, I would say flood the office ahead of it also. As you were talking during the break, find out, who the volunteers are. Find out who the captains are. You guys have several good civic organizations in your area. Call out your volunteers to just start making phone calls and showing up at these places and saying, we want to know who's in charge of all this.
And part of it is, getting the fraud taken up and something done about it too.
Right.
Prosecutions. One of the counties I like to point to is Trinity County, which is just ridiculous with what they do. They are so blatant and they're so open about it because they know nothing is going to happen. The last couple of elections, they've had the seals on voting machines broken. They've had ballots that have disappeared. They've had, provisional ballots that, we just found these 7 months later. Things like that.
Seriously, they just showed up.
They've done it for like three or four elections running now, and nothing
happens.
Yeah, nothing happens.
So, what about, has anybody contacted the district attorney and tried to get, some legal help that way?
Sorry, I don't...
Or is the DA just as corrupt?
I think he'd have to be around to be corrupt. But Trinity County is a microcosm that really kind of sets the example of a lot that's going on at a larger level. I know even Election Integrity went after some of the things there in Trinity County and just hit a brick wall. They're like, yeah, that's nice. What do you want us to do about it?
Yeah, so where can you go above that if the district attorney isn't anywhere
Camilla
to be?
Harris?
Yeah, the Department of Justice? Oh, comfort.
I think one of the biggest things that we need to do is we need to take care. We need to take back possession of our prosecutorial process, and because these guys are free to commit crimes if no one will prosecute them, and that's what goes on. Is we know they're breaking the law, but there's nothing we can do about it.
Well, remember though, and this is where just meeting and talking about it, we have to do more than that. All politics really is local, and you guys know that better than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, seriously, people have to just start, we always joke about pitchforks and torches. I mean, people really do need to start making demands, showing up, getting angry, and saying, by golly, we're not going to take it anymore.
Yeah, so you don't believe that we should be polite and go hat in hand and ask
play
for permission or ask for a favor from our representatives.
Not at all.
Me either.
Not at all. That hasn't worked. We can still, you know, we don't have to be vulgar, but we can show that we have strong spines and we're not going to take their BS answers anymore.
Yeah, and getting patted on the head and told, oh, you
right.
just don't get it, little boy. You
exactly.
just don't understand it. You know, and another one that we're trying to push and trying to get out there is we need genuine civilian grand juries. The district
yeah.
attorney and the judges
yes.
should not be behind the selection process for our grand juries.
Nope.
That is the tail wagging the dog. And
that's a problem, isn't it?
Yeah, so how do you go about setting up a civilian grand jury process that has proper oversight and proper direction without involvement of court officers?
Good question. That's something that I should look into.
I've been looking into it, and I think there's a way, and I think a lot of it you could do with the reestablishment of an independent justice of the peace.
Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting.
I've looked at a lot of the things, and basically under the California Constitution, you can establish a justice of the peace, you can elect as many justices of the peace as you want, and they are granted any kind of authority that the local people wish to grant to the justice of the peace. They can simply be an oversight person that issues, you know, that does weddings, or they
mm-hmm.
actually have the power to investigate, arrest, prosecute, defend, sentence.
And what would their requirements to be to become a justice of the peace? Do you know that?
That can be written up by the people as well. You can make it have to be a former judge. You can make it have
yeah.
to be former law enforcement. You can make it be open to Bob the Farmer. You know, and there's tools in the box that we have that we need to start making use of.
Yeah, very good point, Red.
But and getting the information out there, because how many people even know that that's a step or an option in the process to change things?
It is.
For the people.
It
and
is.
And by the
mm-hmm.
people.
And you could set that up where it is county funded. They get their funding regardless. You can
mm-hmm.
set it up where they're not answering to the Board of Supervisors or anybody else. Here's your budget. You're free and independent. You're elected by the people. You incorporate the citizen grand jury. And then you create your county legislation or your county bill that says when there's an indictment by the grand jury, it's not at the district attorney or the sheriff's discretion. You put the word
right.
in there, thou shalt now go serve this subpoena. You shalt now
right.
prosecute this case. And there's things we can do, but we have to get from the exposure stage to the stage of doing something about it and developing
yeah,
tactics
exactly.
and techniques.
Yeah, take that anger and the frustration that we all have right now and figure out what to do with it.
And quit playing by their rules.
Yeah, exactly. They keep changing the rules anyway. So once we figure out what the rules are, they just change them. And, you know, I mean, look, we know that the other side is based entirely on lies designed to control everything. And, you know, we have to expose that to most people, get them to understand that, and then, you know, only then can we start taking things back.
Yeah, and just because they say that that's the rules doesn't mean that really is the rules. Quit taking
no.
it at face value and digging into stuff like you're doing with the grand jury and saying, hey, no, this is the way it is, and this is what you can do, and this is what you're supposed to be doing.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And
right, just because they've passed a law doesn't mean it's right.
Right.
or legal
we know that.
Or just.
Yeah. Or
exactly.
just.
You know, there's a couple of Supreme Court cases from the 30s that I've been looking at that states, and it's very clear in both of these cases, it states where the state turns a liberty or a right into a permit, a fee, or a license, then that fee, permit, or license is no longer valid, and the citizen can operate in good faith that his right and liberty to operate in such a manner will be upheld by the court.
Didn't Alabama or somewhere down there do that back in the 30s?
Yeah, it was... I've got it at home. I can't remember.
I was thinking
about it. But it was basically where they said, yeah, you can have your rights, but you're going to pay us a permit. right. or you're going to, you know, and that's right along the lines with a CCW permit or, mm-hmm. you know, certain licensing and things like that, that the Supreme Court has already ruled that once they do that, you as a citizen can invalidate that and operate in good faith without that license or permit with the expectation of the court to uphold your rights.
Right. And with that, we do have a caller on the line. Good morning, Terry.
Hey, Linda. Hey, Red. How you doing, Katie? Thanks for doing all you do.
Oh, thank you.
We could talk about a lot of different things than we have, but the real deal is that nothing really matters if we lose our liberty. If they take our liberty from us, that's it, period. The other thing is that the other side isn't really playing by the rules.
Right.
And that's why we're doing what we're doing with the state of Jefferson, and hopefully we can talk to you a little bit about that tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. And the last thing is, if in fact we have these laws that are being passed, 8 or 10 a day, something like that, is there isn't any of them that doesn't make the law-abiding citizen of the state of California a criminal.
That's right.
Exactly. Also, I had asked Jim Nielsen, I had asked Brian Daly in long, extensive, very colorful, metaphored conversations that, you know, what's your plan? I mean, help us to help you help all of us. Just help us to help you help all of us. You don't like this either. What's your plan? And what I got from Jim Nielsen is, you know, you just keep on swinging. But I really can't get behind Jefferson. And I said, well, what's your plan then? We've got literally 21 counties, hundreds of thousands of people that are looking for liberty. Alone in Shasta County, we have 33,000 signatures. I mean, really and truly, just tell us what your plan is. Well, we really don't have one. And I think that it's gotten to a point, and I think you brought this up before, and I'd like you to elaborate on this. We actually have a monoparty in California now. These guys are kind of greasing their own palms. Gaines is a good example. And I also really, it's wonderful that you're telling people and letting them know, hey, you know, it's good to be respectful to these politicians, but you got to be firm with them. You got to let them know how the cows ate the cabbage, that they work for us. Anyway, thanks for all you do. Looking forward to seeing you tomorrow.
All right. Thanks
so much. I am too.
Thanks for calling in, Terry.
And you know, Terry brings up a very good point is, what are they doing for us? And we do need to start changing the rules ourselves.
Yeah.
And it's not even so much as a change of the rules as getting back to the rules.
To the right rules.
Right.
And,
exactly. Yeah. We were all happy with constitutional rule of law. We like our state constitution. We like our national, our federal constitution. And in California, I can't tell you how many of these bills are passed that have been... Governor Brown has been told they're unconstitutional, and he just says, so sue me.
Yeah, with an expectation of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals upholding him.
You got it.
Yep.
And his stacked California Supreme Court.
Exactly. And another one that I think is vital for the people to understand is the scope of the fight that we're in. It doesn't end in Sacramento.
No, it doesn't.
You know, a perfect example of the global cabal that we're kind of facing is Jerry Brown and his ties into Oregon, Washington, Quebec, Canada, things like that through his CARB regulations and his involvement with Tom Steyer and, you know, part of the scandal that ended up bringing down Governor Kitzhaber in Oregon. Jerry Brown was up to his neck in that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Red, you and I have talked about that.
Yes, we have.
That's huge, and it's highly illegal.
It is. And he's not allowed to make a treaty with anybody.
He
did it with two different states.
Quebec.
And Quebec, and potentially British Columbia, which you know, neither Quebec or British Columbia can make a treaty with anybody either without the Canadian government. Of course, you've got that Putz Trudeau up there that will sign off on anything.
Ugh.
I mean, how do you elect a guy whose dad, one of his dad's pallbearers, was Fidel Castro?
Kidding. I'm wondering how much money Tom Steyer contributed to Trudeau's campaign.
Yeah, that's a good question and worth looking into. You know, I followed some of the money for Trudeau, and one of the big ones was Schlumberger Oil, which some people will know is the Bush family.
Yes.
Right.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, some of the things that are going on. So people need to understand the scope of the pushback that we're facing and the nature of the enemy that we're engaging is it's a lot deeper than just our own state house.
Yeah, there's a lot at stake here. You don't realize how many dots are really connected.
Yeah, absolutely.
With these people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, they're going to cut us off here in about 20 seconds. If you want to hold over for one more break in a couple minutes, we'll get it cleaned up and finish everything off here.
Okay.
All right. If you want to call in and have a question or comment, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
Thanks for listening to KCNR, Shasta Redding, hour number two of Sovereign Minds, and more of Katie Grimes comes your way next here at AM 1460.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Was it terrorism or not? Authorities in New York say they still don't know the motive behind the bombing in Manhattan that injured 29 people last night. No evidence of terrorism at this point. But New York Congressman Peter King isn't sure.
We had the Times Square bombing back in New York in 2011, I guess it was. And it took several days before we realized that that was coming out of the Taliban in Pakistan. The Boston Marathon bombing, we didn't know for several days for certain if that was terrorist.
He was on CBS TV's Face the Nation program this morning. All the victims have been released from the hospital. A news agency run by ISIS claims the man who stabbed and wounded eight people at a mall in St. Cloud, Minnesota last night before being shot dead by an off-duty cop was, quote, a soldier of the Islamic State. The news agency says the attacker had heeded calls from the terrorist group for attacks in countries that are part of the U.S.-led anti-ISIS coalition. The Senate resumes its efforts this week to pass a short-term funding bill.
The short-term bill would fund government operations through December 9th at current spending levels. After that, Congress would have to pass another short-term measure or even a long-term funding bill that could take the form of an omnibus. An omnibus would combine spending bills into one major bill. This all becomes necessary because Congress has again failed to finish its work on budget bills in time for the end of the current fiscal year. Absent that agreement, the government could run out of money when the new fiscal year begins on October 1st. And if that scenario becomes a reality, a government shutdown would follow. Linda Kenyon, Capitol Hill.
Military authorities in Israel say that a Palestinian attacker stabbed an Israeli army officer in the chest near a West Bank settlement this morning and moderately wounded him. Israeli soldiers shot the attacker and apprehended him. More on these stories at townhall.com.
In a crisis, your number one need is food, but not just any food. Experts say everyone needs to have non-perishable, good for 25 years survival food on hand in case of an emergency. Well, right now, in what is truly an unprecedented move, 72-hour survival food kits are being given away to listeners while supplies last. Survival food is more important today than ever before, explains Frank Bates, a spokesman for the company. Natural disasters, terrorist attacks, and other threats can make obtaining sufficient food impossible in an emergency. This 72-hour survival kit has 16 servings of delicious food ready for 25 years of storage. It sells to the general public for $27 plus shipping and has been rated 4.5 out of 5 stars by customers who paid full price. But listeners who act quickly can get it free. Just cover $9.95 in shipping. Go to freefoodone.com right now. Supplies are limited and the program may end at any time. Go to freefoodone.com now. That's freefoodone.com.
Syrian government warplanes and special forces today destroyed several positions of ISIS in the eastern province of Deir el-Zour. The advance regained territory lost to the extremists yesterday when Syrian troops were hit with an inadvertent airstrike by the U.S.-led coalition. The Pentagon has admitted that it may have unintentionally struck Syrian troops while carrying out a raid against ISIS. The incident has threatened the already fragile U.S. and Russian-brokered ceasefire that is largely held despite dozens of alleged violations on both sides. The Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia kicked off its last ever conference as a rebel army yesterday as it looks to transition into a political movement following the signing of a peace accord that ends more than a half century of hostilities. The FARC's top leader, Rodrigo Londoño, addressed about 500 mostly unarmed and semi-uniformed guerrillas yesterday who'd arrived from all parts of Colombia. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. South Korea's Hanjin Shipping Company says it's received over $44 million from its current and former chiefs in order to relieve its global cargo crisis.
A company spokeswoman says the chairman of Hanjin Shipping, Cho Yang-ho, sent $35.7 million from his personal assets. She said former Hanjin Shipping chair Choi Yun-young contributed $8.9 million. The cash-strapped container shipper will use the money to pay for unloading billions of dollars worth of cargo stranded offshore on its ships. The company, South Korea's top ocean shipper, filed for bankruptcy protection on August 31st.
Correspondent Jeremy House. Today is Sunday, September the 18th, the 262nd day of 2016. There are 104 days left in the year. On this date in history, 1927, the Columbia Phonograph Broadcasting System made its on-air debut with a network of 16 radio stations. We know it today as CBS. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista. Summer is here, and Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop on the way to the lake. We barbecue every Friday and have everything you need to maximize your summer fun. Stop by the deli for daily specials under $5, sandwiches made to order, and hot food served all day. With over 1,000 cold drinks, more than 250 beers, a full liquor and wine section, and the best meat prices you'll find anywhere, Mighty Fine pairs big store selection with small store service. Mighty Fine is just a short drive east of Redding at the corner of 299 and Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista. Locally owned and operated since 1977, Mighty Fine.
Excitement is building for the 27th annual Ducky Derby presented by Reading East Rotary. Over $4 million given to this community. Adopt your duck for $5 and get in on the race for youth development and substance abuse prevention. 100% of the ticket price goes back to the nonprofit seller. Everyone wins. And you could be the winner of the grand prize, a houseboat vacation from Shasta Marina. Second prize is the San Francisco Giants weekend, courtesy of Interwest Insurance. See you there, September 25th at 1:30 p.m.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Getting old is never easy. Imagine what it must be like for an older animal to lose their home and be left in a kennel wondering if you'll ever know love and companionship again. At Haven Humane, older animals are hard to place but have so much to offer. If you crave unconditional love, check out the older animals and remember PAL's Fund is available to supplement the cost if you lack the funds to adopt a loving companion. PAL was an amazing deaf Dalmatian that lived the life we would wish for all of our animals. Haven continues to accept donations to PAL's Fund and continue PAL's legacy.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
And we're back for the second hour of Sovereign Minds. That was a great hour with Katie Grimes. She had to run and get some things done.
And, you know, anybody and everybody should come and hear Katie tomorrow night. I mean, the lady is absolutely fearless in her pursuit of truth. You know, I think she is one of the highest qualities and best examples of citizen journalism that is out there. And the quality of work that she does, the amount of investigation, the things that she brings to light. And when it comes to our legislature and our governor, I don't think there's anybody better at exposing them.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, she must be hitting a good note with them
in regards to her licensing and all that, you know, what all went on with that. So you know that she's making a big difference down there and shaking the trees.
Yeah, I think she's a dirty
guys.
Word in the legislature.
But we do appreciate you coming on, Katie, and we look forward to you being at the Reading Patriots tomorrow night at 6 p.m. at 3276 Pacelli Lane.
Yeah, and I mean, come and find out what they're up to, how they're doing it. And, you know, that's what I think is one of her greatest contributions, is not only exposing what they're doing, but she exposes the methods that they're using it by, so you know how to combat it.
Yeah.
Where you can try and hit it off at the pass, knowing the tactics that they're using so that you can try and do something about it.
And there's something in all of that. I mean, for everybody.
There's
some place in there that will be something that hits it for you to get involved in, because it affects all different types of our areas of our life.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter who you are, what you do, so that's going to affect you somewhere.
And
get up in the morning is going to affect you.
And it brings to the forefront some things that a lot of people don't think about. How many people, when they think about what's wrong with California, naturally think about, oh, maybe there's something wrong down at my elector's office?
Yeah, exactly.
That's not a natural, hey, this is somewhere we need to be looking. And it's absolutely somewhere that we should be looking, that we should be all over and, you know, taking responsibility of, making sure that it's being run the right way.
Right, yeah.
You know,
we've kind of fell short of that.
Here at home, do we have a good elections office in Shasta County? Does anybody know?
I don't think anybody really knows.
I
mean, there's been a few times, you know, there's been questions or concerns, but then, you know, it's kind of gone on the back burner, and people forgot about it, and then just assumed that everything's okay, and it was taken care of, and everything will be all right, and the elections will be, you know, done right, and there's no problem, let's move along, little guy, you know.
Yeah.
But, like you say, I don't think we really know.
Yeah. Is it good? Is it bad? Do we have a clue?
Do we have a clue? There you go. And the only way we're going to know that is to get out there, like we have talked in the last hour about, and be engaged and question these people.
Yeah.
And don't just back up because they say, oh, yeah, it's all okay, you know.
And I think a good starting point, and I literally mean a starting point with our elections office, is go get your ballot verified. That's what they give you that stub for, that little strip that they rip off of your ballot.
Right.
You can go down to the elections office and go, here's my receipt. I want to see my ballot. I want
to
see where it was
counted.
That's interesting.
See, I didn't know that either. That you could actually call them on it.
Yeah, that's what that receipt is all about, for verifying that's what's going on. And, you know, and that's what I mean by exposing things and bringing them up, because most people don't. What did most people do with that little piece of strip? It goes
in their
pocket, or do they throw it away, and they don't think twice about it. And that's mail-in ballots. That's, you know, that is your verification. That's your receipt that you voted and that your vote's going to be counted.
That would be real interesting to do, because you brought up mail-in ballots, you know. If they went down there and said, hey, I want to see my ballot, how much discrepancies would come up? Because that's always been a question. And the big topic is mail-in ballots.
What if you go down there and they don't have it?
Exactly.
There's a problem in there.
Yeah, there could be a serious problem.
Yeah, and, you know, at this point, other than assuming an operation of good faith, how do we know that they're not even just making up election numbers? How do we know that they're not just going, oh, yeah, you got this many and you got that many? How do we know?
The only way to know is to go down there and request the information.
Mm-hmm.
And
or,
see where the
or
where
take,
it is.
Or take a sampling of a district and go, okay, you know, we've got this many people that voted this way and this many people that voted this way. Here's their receipts. Let's take a look at the ballots and let's see if the numbers add up.
Yeah.
You know.
And with that, we do have Jean and Redding on the line. Good morning.
Good morning.
What can we do for you this morning?
Well, I'm listening to your program as I'm getting ready for church, and I just wanted to say, number one, I have been working at the elections for at least 15 years or more. And I just wanted to encourage you to volunteer and to be, because they're always, always needing help.
Mm-hmm.
And so you go in and you go in for training. You have training, and it would be very enlightening for you to go in and to see exactly how it's run. And I'll tell you something with the mail-in ballots. I would love to see us all go into mail-in ballots because the cost, number one, for all of the machines, the everything else. For instance, the machines, when they first put those machines out, everybody thought it was great. I hate them. They are the biggest pain in the butt that you've ever, you know. Two people have to verify every number, every number, every number. You put tape on. If that tape is removed, it comes back void. All of those things are checked. Every machine is checked. It's, and like I said, two people, you can't touch the machine without two people being there. So they went into all of the expense of the machines. Then they said, oh, there could be a problem. Somebody might hack into them. So not only did they do that, then they had to invent a printer so that it comes out with a printed tape to so that they couldn't do any changing. And so there's so many safeguards on there. And with the provisional ballots, I would usually have maybe three or four provisional ballot people come in. When they opened it up and you could sign in the first year that you could sign in when you renewed your license and you signed in at the Department of Motor Vehicles, I had, I think, 24. And they just had, they didn't, it, that was through the Department of Motor Vehicles that screwed that up. And so I'm just saying that I'd like to see you guys go through the training to see that and everything. When you put in, you mail in your ballot, everything, they have two people opening up every envelope. And they check the signature. If you don't sign it, and it's very precise what you have to do. And so if people aren't counted, they better look and find out if they've signed everything that's on that provisional ballot. You give them the provisional ballot, you have them fill it out and everything, and I myself had found that, you know, I can remember one person that was so excited to vote, and I was going through everything, you get slammed with all of these people, and he forgot to sign it. So, you know, but there again, it tells you all, you have to fill out all of this thing, and so I just ask you guys to go in, to go through the training, to see exactly what, you know, the people who I get paid as an inspector, $125. I go down the day before, I go to training, I go, you know, you start at 6 o'clock in the morning, and you're maybe there till 10 o'clock at night. So I'm just saying, you know, if you're questioning things, please be part of it and go down and see, and I think they do a tremendous job.
Well, that,
and like I said, with every mail-in ballot and every provisional ballot, two people open that envelope and they go through and they check that signature card with a signature that they have in the office, and they better match or that, you know, would not be counted. So there's
how many ballots do you think get disqualified because the signature card doesn't match?
I have no idea. I have no idea, but I know that, you know, and they're working for days. And the first, the mail-in ballots, those, when you get the returns that night and you start getting returns, those are the mail-in ballots because they can go through, open that up, they check all of the signatures, they check all of that to make sure that it's in order, and then they put it, you know, in, they don't count it. That's not run through first. All those mail-in ballots, they're put together, and then as soon as the polls close, those are the first things that they're able to drop into the machine and count them immediately. Everything else, and it takes them days to go in, and that's why not all of the results are in, because by the time they're checking the provisional ballots and everything, and people come in, you know, and they go, oh, you know, I just dropped my kids off at school, so I just want to vote here. Well, you know what? They have to have a provisional ballot because they're not in our registry there. And so all of these things are a pain. Go to your own district and vote because you have candidates running for supervisors, maybe school districts, and you need to take and try to do that because it creates more of a problem. for instance, I had one woman who came down. There was a death in the family, and she wanted to vote for the president. She says, that's all I want to do. You know, I'm registered, but I didn't have time to do a mail-in ballot. She said, please, can I vote? That's all I'm going to vote for is for the president. You know what? We are not allowed to tell them, you can't vote. I know that she was not going to be counted, but sure, fill in this, because she's from out of state. Had people from San Francisco, you know, oh, I haven't voted in 8 years, but I'm voting for the president for the first time. Hey, guess what? They haven't been registered here. I know that that's not going to count. But you know what? You have to say, okay, fine. You know, fill out the card, fill out all of this. They have to go through, check. Hey, they've never been registered here. So I'm telling you, it is a big process. And I thank Kathy Darling and her entire staff for the amount of work that they put in. And I'm telling you, they do a fabulous job. And I'd like other people, go in and go through the process. If you think that they're cheating and everything else, you go through the process and see what they do.
Well, we certainly appreciate the phone call, and that's what we're asking people to do, is go engage in the process, go and verify, go and know. Because I think that many people outside of what you do as a volunteer aren't aware of what goes on. And,
I don't think they're aware
of the
process.
You're talking about taking your stub and going up the next day and demanding it, those people are so swamped with every one of the provisional and mail-in. You know, people come in and they drop off ballots. They have a mail-in ballot, and so we'll have a lot of people who will just say, oh, you know, I didn't drop it in time. And there are there's drop-off points at City Hall and, I don't know, you know, and at the Elections Department. So, you know, they have to go through every one of those and match signatures. So, and I'm just saying that it takes them. They're so busy doing all of their work. If we had a slug of people coming up at 8 o'clock in the morning and saying, I want to see where my ballot is, you know, let them count their ballots.
Well, see, that's where I think I'm going to have to disagree with you. I mean, I won't apologize for me exercising my right as a citizen being an inconvenience to my elected official. It's my right to go and get my ballot verified, and I will happily do so.
Well, that's great, and I'm just saying, but at 8 o'clock in the morning, you know, and everybody's showing up, it's, you know, just that's why I ask you to go through the process and to see what all is involved. It's tremendous. They're working all through the night. I mean, the sheriff delivers ballots from all the outlying districts and everything. So it's
do you acknowledge that, especially in this last primary election throughout California, that it was rife with discrepancies in voter fraud?
I have no idea because I don't do that, but I do, you know, we work as hard as we can to make sure that everybody gets to vote, and it's the Elections Department. And I said, you go up there and volunteer and be part of the process and see, you know, how you think if it's corrupt.
So that's what we're asking people to do, and that's one of the things that I'll be doing myself is engaging it so I can answer that question.
Well, and it's not necessarily saying that the volunteers are the ones that are corrupting or doing bad things, but further up in the chain, I mean, what's going on? We don't know that unless we are engaged and is part of it. And I want to go back to showing the stub. Now, if it all goes into a machine, then there's a printout, correct?
There's going to be a printout, and I'm talking about the mail-in and the provisional ballots and everything else, and you get your little stub on the machine so they can they'll have to chase it down, but. Like I said, it is a tremendous process. That's why I want all of the ballots to be mail-in ballots, and it would cut off a whole lot of money that is spent on each. Okay, I'm just going to give you one for instance. One election, and it was just a local election, We had 22 voters come in. Now, that was $425 just to pay the four workers there at the poll site. And that, and they have poll sites all over. And that's what I'm saying. It's expensive. We could take and cut costs. I think, of course, you're going to have a lot more people working at the office going through and opening up those envelopes.
Well,
and
for me, it's one of the few areas of government that I'm worried less about cutting costs than accuracy.
Well, like I said, come on board. We'd love to have you guys.
All right.
Come
all
on
right.
Board.
Well, thanks for calling
appreciate
in.
It.
Okay.
We do have another caller on the line. Good morning, Billy Bob from Palo Cedro. How are you this morning?
It's good, good. How are you folks?
We're doing good.
Well.
Oh, yeah.
Packing the ball without Mark there. That's great.
Yeah. We do just fine.
We're all right.
Yeah, Red holds his own. We aren't worried about him. The thing is great discussion.
Now.
That previous caller was full of information, and I appreciated her efforts that she does to make sure that Shasta County is a legal and legitimate voting area. But I really do think that we are up to snuff on what we do here. And again, all I do is when I show up to vote, I pull out my California driver's license, and this is the only point I wanted to make. And I hand it to the lady there, she has her book there and everything else. And I pull out my driver's license, and she looks at me like I'm crazy.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? And I'm going, hey, I'm identifying myself. And she goes, no, you don't have to do that. And that's my only point, is there should be a law that says anybody voting has to present a driver's license. You can't do anything in this day and age without a driver's license, so why should voting be any different? So I'll let you guys go. Thanks.
All right, thanks for calling in.
And there goes Billy Bob making perfect sense again.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, crazy.
Strange thing.
You know, and from that last phone call from, it sounds like maybe our elections office is a little overwhelmed on Election Day, that they need help, that people need to get down there and engage and not only ensure the process, but do your civic duty. Do your duty to your country and your community and be engaged in helping.
And it's not like it lasts for days and you have to do it, for a year long. It's, a few days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, long hours. I mean, when we did the recount in the one election, we were down there. We didn't get paid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was hour after hour that you sat there and counted, hand counted.
And that election came down to, 11 votes?
Yeah.
It's important to get it right.
It was very important, and we all didn't mind sitting there, but we were engaged. And I want to let Jean know, we weren't attacking her. We're attacking the process of how it's done.
Because I can verify with evidence that there was rampant voter fraud throughout the state of California in the primary election.
Right. And I know a lot of people, and it was in the chat room about, there being fraud with mail-in ballots. That's always been a big question, the mail-in ballot. How many of those actually get received? How many are counted? I mean, but that goes on both sides. Whether you walk in, to me, whether you walk in and cast your vote or you mail it in, you still need to verify that it was received, it was counted, and the process went forward from there.
That's what the receipt stub is for, is verifying your ballot.
Yeah.
Did you receive this? Let me see it. This is how it was counted. Okay, everything's good. That's part of your civic duty as a citizen. That's part of their duty as part of the elected office. And I'm not sorry if that's an inconvenience.
Right. And we do know that, not all ballots get out on time. We had that problem with the military, that they did not get the ballots out on time to the men and women that are deployed overseas to get back in time. And there was no provision made, as far as I know, to make up the difference for those ballots,
mm-hmm.
to extend the time or change,
And there may be things that we discover in the process that maybe we can help to clean up. Why are they allowing people that they already know are going to be disqualified to vote? Like people that aren't registered to vote. Why are people from San Francisco being allowed to turn on drop off a ballot here. I mean, that's something that they shouldn't have to be dealing with.
Right. I totally agree with that.
And by engaging in the process and people getting engaged in the process, they can discover some things that maybe we can help clean up.
Yeah, and they can, if you get engaged in it and you know how the process works, you can let other people know
mm-hmm.
how the process works and what's really going on and get the truth out there, whether it's right what they're doing or whether it's wrong what they're doing.
I'll be the first one to say that, you know, with my work as a reporter and things like that, anytime I've needed anything out of Kathy Darling's office, they've been right on top of it. They've been very professional. They've been very courteous. They've been very expedient. I have had nothing but good dealings with her office. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to keep my nose in it as a citizen, and that's what I see as my duty.
Right, right. You know? And I believe we have another caller on the line. We got Mark Baird on the line. Good
Hi,
morning,
how
Mark.
How are you doing this morning?
We're hey, doing
Mark.
Good.
Yeah, I just wanted to call regarding the last lady's, the vote-working lady's call. There's another perspective that she perhaps doesn't see. And as Red pointed out, it takes a courageous county clerk to spot voter fraud. In Siskiyou County, during the primary election, we had several hundred provisional ballots, most of which were disqualified by the county clerk because there were people who were registered to vote or had domiciles in other places but wanted to vote in Siskiyou County so that they could influence a local election regarding pot growing. And so these people registered to vote using parcel numbers when, in fact, they had addresses in Sacramento and Michigan and Fresno and places like that and voted in those places. And so our county clerk very courageously called the Secretary of State, who, by the way, is a member of the Mono Party, and he is tasked with the job of making sure elections are run fairly and honestly. So the Secretary of State sends a bunch of investigators up, and lo and behold, now the county clerk is getting sued for discrimination because the people trying to influence the election happen to be of a certain ethnic persuasion. And so the counties are subject to election rigging. There is election fraud. It is real. And I understand that this woman will work very hard, and she counts the ballots she gets, and gosh, that's great, and I commend her for her efforts, and I think everybody should try to volunteer if they can. But that doesn't change the fact that election fraud is very, very real in California, and
yes,
it takes place
mm-hmm.
every day. And now Siskiyou County is being sued by a San Francisco pot law firm for discriminating against their clients who were trying to vote fraudulently, which, by the way, is a felony.
So how does that work, you know?
It doesn't.
Yeah. How crazy is
and
that?
That's where the entire point of what we're saying is be engaged. Get your vote and your ballot verified. Take responsibility. You know, it is civic duty is maintaining your government, maintaining a watchful eye, make sure it's functioning the way that it's supposed to. And there's some very critical places that we need to be doing that, and the elections office is absolutely one of them.
Yeah, I have to agree with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, hey, one last thing, and I'll let you guys go. The Reading Searchlight, did I say that out loud? the Reading Socialist News then printed a front-page article about what a discriminatory creep the sheriff of Siskiyou County and the county mm-hmm. clerk was for trying to uphold the law and see that elections are fair and balanced. I'll bet if the same thing was going on with regard to an issue that the Reading Socialist cared about, they'd be on the opposite side of that argument. And I just want to say, personally, I don't subscribe to the local paper because I don't want to pay for the lies. And I urge everybody, if you're tired of the lies that the newspaper's telling, stop paying for it. Vote with your money. And that's one way to teach them to tell the truth.
There is, and there are alternatives. You know,
there are a lot of alternatives.
The Shasta Lantern is free. Katie Grimes, the gal that we just had on the last hour, Canadian Free Press and Flash Report are free. There are tremendous articles on there about what's really going on.
Absolutely.
Citizen journalists that are getting to the bottoms of things and bringing out the truth, regardless of what the story or if it hurts a certain conglomerate or anything. It's about truth, and the civilian media is getting very good at it.
Very yeah. good. Thanks, guys. I'll talk to
Thank
you later.
You,
all right. Thanks for calling in.
Bye.
Yeah, that's, I mean,
Yeah, engage.
Engage. And we can't say it enough that you need to be engaged. And voting is a big thing. If you're going to take the time and vote...
Verify your vote.
I mean, that's your duty to know that that was counted correctly.
Yeah, one of the things that Mark just brought up, you had people that own parcels or land in Siskiyou County, but they reside somewhere else where they voted, and then they tried to vote again in Siskiyou County. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you, you look at the Trinity County elections, probably 60 to 70% of your votes happen that way, just because of what's going on in Trinity County.
Well, you brought that up earlier about Trinity County.
It's bad.
County and what was going on.
It's bad.
And then they're going to try to prosecute the sheriff up there and other individuals for upholding the Constitution the way it's supposed to be.
And no matter which way that sorts out, I mean, anybody that understands the legality of what happened knows which way this process is going to come out legally. But the persecution of the county clerk and the sheriff's office has already occurred.
Right. The damage
and
is done.
The damage is done. That's what will stick in people's heads. And, you know, for quote-unquote media sources like the Reading Socialist, I like that. I'm going to start calling them that, the Reading Socialist.
I like that. Yeah,
stuff,
that was good.
To do no investigative journalism, to not look into it, to not follow the trail to the conclusion to report, it's wrong. It's damaging. It's liable.
Well, you should be able to sue them for printing something. In my opinion, that's my opinion, that they should be sued if they don't have all the facts right and are already prosecuting somebody.
Yeah,
or an agency, or both.
There is a line between press and propaganda, and when you fail to do any true investigation, any due diligence, if you can't back up your statements with facts that are reasonable, that led you to that conclusion, it's slander.
And it should be treated accordingly.
I know that personally because I went after a police chief in Alturas, and he tried to get after us for slander. But everything that I wrote and everything I said, I could back up with documentation. It wasn't slander. It was truth.
There is a big difference.
And if, you know, they go to the point and accuse the Siskiyou County Sheriff's Department of being racist, of the county clerk of being racist, show me the evidence.
Yeah, I mean, they broke the law. The persons or people broke the law in the first place, which is a felony.
Does it matter that they were all from one particular ethnic background? So if a bunch of white people got together and broke the law together, it's no longer breaking the law. It's racism for not allowing us to break the law as an ethnic group?
Yeah.
That's retarded. I mean, that is seriously one of the dumbest mindsets that I have ever heard.
Can't fix stupid.
But the Reading Socialist jumped in with both feet, didn't
they? Yeah, they sure did. And I guess with that, I think we need to go to a break. Mm-hmm. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
What shall we do about them?
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at WeThePeopleRadio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
What shall we do about them?
This is your life, good to the last drop. Doesn't get any better than this. This is your life, and it's ending 1 minute at a time.
Tired of watching California burn down around your ears?
Tired of watching your rights stripped away?
Finally ready to do something about it?
Join us,
Red Smith
and Wynn Carpenter,
in the fight for the Jefferson Free State.
Every Sunday, 8 to 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460, Free Fire Radio.
It's only after you've lost everything that you're free to do anything.
Come on down to the Air Force Memorial Show and Shine at the Anderson River Park Moose Grove on Saturday, September 24th from 10 till 2 p.m. This end-of-summer blowout event is free to the public and features your favorite Porsches, Corvettes, Mini Coopers, exotic supercars and cars from the British Car Club. And be sure to get your mouth-watering tri-tip dinner for just $12. All proceeds support the Air Force Memorial Project. See you there.
The goodies, the gadgets, the gizmos. Every week, Boomer Tech Radio talks about the innovations and the developments in technology that are impacting your life. Hi, it's Bob Belongi, and for the past 6 years, Brenda and I have brought you the tech news you can really use. Sponsored by Advanced Automotive of Reading, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. It's analog living in a digital world on Boomer Tech Radio, heard noon to 2 Saturdays or streaming anytime on KCNR 1460.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
And we're back with that. I just had a priceless picture.
Do the hustle.
Robert was doing the hustle in the studio. I'm just saying.
Oh, man. Song works for so many things.
Who would have known on a Sunday morning you were doing the hustle?
Hey, I still think we've got the best music on talk radio.
Yeah, there you go. You just never know what might come over the airwaves.
No. So, coming back, we've got ourselves another guest from Agenda 21 Radio.
We do. We got Paul Preston with us this morning.
How are we doing,
Paul? Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm doing the hustle right in my own studio here, high atop Mount Hooth. We're going to go on the air at, live from 12 to 3 this afternoon. So we're just going to do the hustle.
There you go.
All the way around here. It's great music.
Yeah. there's no lack of things to talk about, and it seems to be continually accelerating.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, of course, everybody's been following up on what's been going on in New York and Minnesota and New Jersey. And we don't want to forget about what's going on in Syria. The big thing over there that happened just the other day, it was Friday afternoon, news dump here in America, was that we bombed Syrian soldiers at a Syrian/Russian base in defense of ISIS.
Oops.
That's the allegation from Putin. And quite frankly, based upon our research, it looks like that's exactly what we were doing. And if people don't understand, we are on the side of ISIS. This president and Hillary Rodham Clinton both created ISIS. And that's why Donald Trump has come out with his comments about they are the founders of ISIS. And it's very, very clear that what happened in this operation, based upon the information from my sources, is that we actually did attack the base in support of ISIS. That's a very damning statement to make about our armed forces. But, you know, you've got to remember, we are the terrorist nation, which is just incredible for us to hear this and say this, but it's true.
Well, it is, and it's not the first incident where we have allowed ISIS to escape. Less than about 3 weeks ago, the Syrians and the Russians had ISIS cut off in Aleppo. They had the ISIS pocket surrounded. They were shelling it and squeezing it smaller and smaller. And then all of a sudden, ISIS got their hands on these quote-unquote civilian hostages, and the U.S.-backed Syrian forces opened the door and allowed ISIS to walk out.
Right.
And now we have this latest incident where they had ISIS breached and surrounded. They were cutting them off, and there was a Syrian armored spearhead that was coming in to close the back door on ISIS. And we just so happened, and conveniently for ISIS, to bomb that armored spearhead, destroyed several tanks, so it killed over 100 Syrian soldiers, and left the door wide open for ISIS once again to backpedal and reform.
This wouldn't have anything to do with the funding originally from us with ISIS now, would it?
Benghazi.
That's right. It goes all the way back there. And, of course, we have been reporting on the fact, Claire Lopez, Major General Paul Valley, Admiral Ace Lyons, and others, they formed a Citizens Commission on Benghazi in 2013. And they came up with these facts. It's not just me saying this on the radio. We've been reporting it because, you know, they've been on our show several times, a good friend of Agenda 21 Radio. But this commission came out. It was devastating, and it's proof positive. I mean, they got all the documentation, everything there, that we are supplying, even today, arms and training and money to ISIS. And we actually helped to form ISIS. It's very, very clear. In fact, Chris Street and I reported about 24 hours after the attack on Benghazi about the two ships that had left Benghazi earlier before the attack in 2012, loaded with 800 tons of arms and munitions. And they went into Turkey, and the Turkish government helped facilitate the unloading of those arms, put those arms into the Al-Qaeda hands, Al-Qaeda Iraqis, and put those arms in their hands. And those were the first shipment that ISIS ever got.
Well, that's most people are not even aware of the fact that the entire reason that Chris Stevens was in Benghazi was because he met with an official from the Turkish government just prior to that to broker that arms trade.
Right.
That's what Chris Stevens was doing there. And the Iraqi al-Qaeda forces would be what the press secretary at the time was referring to as the Free Syrian Liberation Forces.
Right, which really didn't exist because those Free Syrian Liberation Forces, which were consisted of a lot of Christians and other religions besides Muslims, were wiped out by Al-Qaeda.
Yes, they were.
How convenient. And it was that from that first initial load of ammunition or munitions and weapons, including Stinger-type missiles, that became a genesis of ISIS. And we've known this. I mean, Scott Bennett, who was at Liberty Tour number 3, came out with a 48-minute video. Scott Bennett was put in prison by Eric Holder because as a Army psychological warfare officer, he was tasked with finding terror financing around the world. And he found it. And he found that it was with our CIA, our State Department, and President Obama and Hillary Rodham Clinton were actively making money exchanges through Swiss bank accounts. We've got the documentation. And, of course, this is what's led Donald Trump to say, hey, they're the founder of ISIS. Mm. And this is well known in the intelligence community. It's just as a matter of fact.
That's one of the things that was going on. And Turkey has absolutely been the middleman through this entire process. If you look at how Al-Qaeda was getting or how ISIS was getting their money, they were hitting Iraqi pipelines, they were hitting Syrian pipelines, they were stealing convoys full of oil. Well, who'd they sell that oil to? They drove right into Turkey and sold it to the Turks.
Right. And it was Erdogan's son who was brokering those deals.
Absolutely. And a lot of people go, okay, well, where did the money come from ISIS? Show me where in the American budget that the funding came from. And my immediate response through information that's been revealed lately is, where did Gaddafi's gold go in Libya?
Exactly.
Because before the invasion of Libya and the airstrikes we conducted there, the regime change in Libya, what precipitated that was Muammar Gaddafi had collected enough gold reserves, he was going to start a gold-backed African dinar.
And that was not the thing for him to do with the One World Order people. That's just not the thing for him to do.
No, that upset a great many people and led very expeditiously to his death. But then nobody asked the question, where did the Libyan people's gold go?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's driving around in a bunch of new Toyotas and mm-hmm. new weapons yeah. and new things with ISIS. A lot of people are not aware that we're currently engaged in conflict in Libya again, that there is a Marine Expeditionary Unit operating with elements of the 5th Fleet and operating off the USS Wasp that are conducting raids and airstrikes in eastern Libya. Because guess what? The quote-unquote bad guys are back, and the Libyan parliament about 2 weeks ago took a vote of no confidence in the Libyan government. That's the government that was established by Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton's State Department and supported right. by the UN. The Libyan parliament voted no confidence and tried to kick them out, and immediately the United States began airstrikes against the quote-unquote rebels in the east of Libya.
Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to kind of go on to this bombing incident, and if we could quickly, because we're running out of time. I'm running out of time to go get ready for my radio show at noon. But this whole bombing incident, and it's terrorist attack, there's no question about it. They're openly calling it, very aggressively calling it a terrorist attack in New York City, in New Jersey, and, of course, in St. Cloud, Minnesota, where we had this guy who was running around knifing people and stuff. But the thing that I find very, very interesting with this is the timing of these attacks right now. And what I find even more interesting is that we're in this presidential cycle. And given the fact that Hillary Rodham Clinton is trying to do so much damage to, like, Donald Trump and they're going back and forth, there's a kind of an interesting little twist that people have not thought of. And that is, what did Bill Clinton do in 1999 and 2000, just before he left office? How many terrorists did, in fact, he pardon?
I think he pardoned more people than any other president had before that time. And that's everybody from the Ponzi scheme, you know, pension stealing Mark Rich to, you know, 60s and 70s domestic terrorist radicals to foreign nationals to, I mean, he pardoned everybody.
And don't we have that going on in our nowadays with the pardons?
Yeah.
I can't wait to see the big O list of pardons.
Yeah, I can't either. But, you know, the thing is that FALN, which was a huge terrorist organization from Puerto Rico, They were a paramilitary organization. They set off 120 bombs in the United States, mostly in Chicago and New York. And there were this is coming from WikiLeaks. This is the facts and information. There were convictions for conspiracy, robbery, bomb making, sedition, as well as firearms and explosives violations. And the 16 were convicted of conspiracy and sedition and sentenced to terms ranging from 35 to 105 years. Congress, however, recognized that the FALN is responsible for six deaths and the permanent maiming of dozens. Clinton offered clemency on the condition that the prisoners renounce violence and so on. Well, I mean, okay, so we have these guys that are murderers and thugs and punks that killed Americans, and he pardons them. What's up with that?
Well they promised to be good.
Pardon me?
They promised to be good.
There you go. There you go. And, of course, there's also the Clinton Global Initiative. Hello.
Yeah.
And Puerto Rico. I don't know what's going on there. And, of course, now Puerto Rico is bankrupt.
Well, that's just going to be the crash test dummy for California.
That is. Absolutely. I mean, it's amazing how these people are being sick and twisted in what they're up to. But I see clearly a very strong relationship to these types of bombings that are going on. I think this is really going to be really politically deadly to Hillary Clinton. I really do. Because, you know, and I'm just reading you a mild list of the numbers that he pardoned. It's a huge list. Mm-hmm. And mostly for violent things, and of course you've got the same thing going on with the president right now, yeah, complicating some of these sentences. But I think this is going to play really, really badly for Hillary Clinton when we start breaking this stuff out.
Well, that's getting back to the bombings that occurred, there's a little bit different of a pattern, it seems, with the bombings that occurred in New York and New Jersey. It was almost as if the intent was to minimize damage.
The bombs, and I've had a limited experience in my school administration days with bombs, but and had to talk to a lot of people in the military and things like that, because we did have bombs that went off at school and things like that. We found a mine detonator one time inside of a locker. Go figure. A mine detonator. And the guy who found it, by the way, he had been in Vietnam, and you know what he was? An explosives expert. He was a turned school administrator, and he found it. you talk about God's blessing on everybody. But, you know, it could have killed a lot of kids. But the bottom line to it is that I believe that that's exactly what happened here. I think that there's minimal damage that has been displayed. I think it's more for show and display and see what's happening. And I'm really kind of wondering why all of a sudden they are just rushing out with the fact that it is a terrorist attack. Every single one of these city people from New York and New Jersey are all saying it's a terrorist attack. Now, remember, they are usually very, very guarded, but this time they're right out in front saying it's a terror attack.
It is. It's very telling the way that it's being handled. It's the press is being conducted in the opposite manner that it usually is. The statements are very bold and out front about what it is. The first bombing that occurred, of course, was at the Semper Fi fundraising marathon.
Right.
But again, that bomb went off and didn't hurt anybody because someone called in a suspicious package prior to that that caused a delay of the race. They investigated that package, and while that was occurring, the first bomb went off, which had also been placed in a trash receptacle that would minimize damage that
right.
would contain the blast. The secondary device that was used in New York was placed in a dumpster, which contained most of the blast.
Right.
So you either have somebody that's very amateurish and doesn't know what they're doing, or you have somebody that knows exactly what they're doing and did it with the intent to minimize the damage. And considering the amount of explosive that was used and the manner that it was used in, it looks pretty obvious that whoever did this knew what they were doing. So why do you conduct both of these incidences, but you're trying to minimize casualties?
Yeah, that's a good question. And why would they be?
It's almost a message of saying, hey, we could have, but we didn't. We're here, we're capable, but we didn't. And are we looking into it a little bit too deep? But the building that was bombed in New York was housing for disabled people. It was a home for the blind. Why would you create a explosive outside of a building full of blind people and want to minimize damage? Is it a metaphor?
Well, you know, the thing is that both of these bombing incidents have so many striking parallels. They had bombs that didn't go off, and then they had one that was in a trash can that did go off at the Marine run. And then in New York, in the dumpster, you had one that went off, a quite sizable one, but not one, there was no shrapnel damage. It didn't look like any shrapnel came out of it. And the other one was a pressure cooker bomb that was set off the side. We don't know if it's a real bomb or not. It looks like it, but it could be a phony. They've taken it off to Quantico right now. But then there's another bomb that's been detected. So
all right.
The parallels are similar, very, very similar.
We're at the top of the hour, Paul. Can you hold over a couple minutes?
I got a couple minutes, and then I got to rush off to the studio.
Okay, we'll grab you for the last couple of minutes right after this.
And this is KCNR, 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Looking for answers in New York City.
We have a lot more work to do to be able to say what kind of motivation was behind this. Was it a political motivation, a personal motivation? What was it? We do not know that yet.
Mayor Bill de Blasio talking about last night's bomb blast in Manhattan that injured 29 people. All of them have been released from the hospital now. Governor Andrew Cuomo is making a promise.
Whoever placed these bombs, we will find, and they will be brought to justice.
Police also removed another suspicious device from a location near the site of last night's blast. It did not explode. In nearby New Jersey, the probe continues today into a pipe bomb that went off before a race yesterday. Nobody was hurt in that incident. A Minnesota hospital says three of the eight people who were stabbed at a mall last night remain hospitalized. St. Cloud medical personnel say the other five were released. Authorities report a man dressed in a private security uniform started stabbing people at the mall, reportedly making references to Allah. An off-duty police officer shot and killed him. President Obama planning to meet this week with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu while both are in New York for the UN General Assembly. They are to hold talks Wednesday, about a week after the U.S. and Israel signed an unprecedented security agreement that will give the Israeli military $38 billion over 10 years. It is the largest such agreement the U.S. has ever had with any country. Mr. Obama heads to New York later on today. Russia's election commission head says results from voting for a parliament in a Siberian region could be annulled if allegations of vote fraud there are confirmed. Russians are going to the polls all across that vast country from early this morning to late tonight to select a new lower house, the State Duma. More on these stories at townhall.com.
In a crisis, your number one need is food, but not just any food. Experts say everyone needs to have non-perishable, good for 25 years survival food on hand in case of an emergency. Well, right now, in what is truly an unprecedented move, 72-hour survival food kits are being given away to listeners while supplies last. Survival food is more important today than ever before, explains Frank Bates, a spokesman for the company. Natural disasters, terrorist attacks, and other threats can make obtaining sufficient food impossible in an emergency. This 72-hour survival kit has 16 servings of delicious food rated for 25 years of storage. It sells to the general public for $27 plus shipping and has been rated 4.5 out of 5 stars by customers who paid full price. But listeners who act quickly can get it free. Just cover $9.95 in shipping. Go to freefoodone.com right now. Supplies are limited and the program may end at any time. Go to freefoodone.com now. That's freefoodone.com.
World leaders meeting at the United Nations starting tomorrow will be trying to make progress on two intractable problems at the top of the global agenda, the biggest refugee crisis since World War II, and the Syrian civil war, now in its sixth year, which has claimed more than 300,000 lives. Against a backdrop of rising ethnic and religious tension, fighting elsewhere in the Middle East and Africa, and extremist attacks around the world, there are plenty of other issues for the 135 heads of state and government and more than 50 ministers expected to attend to try and tackle. But Syria, where a tense ceasefire brokered by Moscow and Washington went into effect last Monday, and the growing refugee problem are the top two issues. President Obama says he will take it as a, quote, personal insult if the African-American community fails to turn out for this year's presidential election. He made his comments last night at the Congressional Black Caucus Annual Foundation Dinner. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Farm workers in the nation's largest agricultural state will be entitled to the same overtime pay as most other hourly workers under a new law.
California Governor Jerry Brown has signed legislation that chips away at a nearly 80-year-old practice of applying separate labor rules to farmhands. Brown signed the bill following a push by the United Farm Workers Union and its allies. Agricultural groups warn the change will severely harm one of California's largest industries. The new law will be phased in starting in 2019.
Correspondent Jeremy House. Today is Sunday, September the 18th, and a birthday for a number of notable people, including actor Robert Blake, who's 83 years old today, singer Frankie Avalon turns 76, Basketball Hall of Fame coach Rick Pitino, 64 years old today. Baseball Hall of Famer Ryan Sandberg has 57 candles on his cake. And actress Jada Pinkett Smith is 45. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Liberty and justice for all. Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a wall, but we came to fight.
And we're back for the third hour of Sovereign Minds, and we've been talking with Paul Preston about a lot of different things, mostly about what's really going on in the world and where the United States sits with it. And
it is. And before we lose you, Paul, there's a couple things that I wanted to get into with you. You know, we were discussing the kind of the discrepancy in the MO of these bombings in Jersey and New York, and how they were a little bit different, where they seemed almost like they wanted to contain the collateral damage,
right?
As it was more of a message. You know, there's some other things that we'll probably be reporting on at a later date as we have some more information. But I had a phone call with an individual last night that I've known for a long time, and the fact that he's even around to be able to be in contact with anybody kind of speaks for itself. But I was informed last night that Gladio is hereditary and generational.
Right.
So that might mean something to some people that are in the know. That's something that we'll probably be reporting on at a later date, but I wanted to pass that on to you and then get into something that ties into it out of Saudi Arabia and some of the statements that were made by the Saudi Crown Prince and the defense minister and the foreign affairs minister.
Yeah, I'd like to, you know, there was some reporting that was done on that earlier this week about comments that they were, it seems like the House of Saud seems to be wanting to morph or break up. Do something, because they're really being outed as clearly the terrorist nation behind 9/11 and so many other things that have gone on.
Well, they almost de facto admitted to it the other day.
Right, right.
There's a lot that's going on in Saudi Arabia that the Shasta Lantern's been reporting on that is absolutely not being picked up by mainstream media. Saudi Arabia for almost the last 3 years has been hemorrhaging money because of the decrease in the price of oil, and they're caught in the death spin of they need money so they can't turn off the taps, but they can't afford to sell oil at the price that they're selling it at, so they can't afford the taps open, and they've been hemorrhaging money. There's been a number of shakeups within the House of Saud that's been covered up. Their southern provinces are under de facto control of Yemeni Houthi rebels. That's not being reported. Things are not well in Saudi Arabia. And I've heard rumblings of a coup in the House of Saud for almost 3 months now. And now you have the Saudi crown prince saying we, and being backed up by a foreign affairs official and a defense ministry official. And they came out and they said, it's time for Saudi Arabia to acknowledge that we are a state sponsor of terrorism. In fact, we've been a state sponsor of terrorism since the late 60s, the early 70s.
Right.
And that we have to acknowledge our part in the disruption in the Middle East, in the funding of terrorist organizations, and to admit that the only hope for Saudi Arabia is a revolution to move away from ideology into modernization, and we have to admit our sins, including 9/11.
Right, and you know this goes all the way back in the early 50s, 40s, and 30s, but primarily the House of Saud got involved in the 40s and 50s with the Muslim Brotherhood out of Egypt. And the Muslim Brotherhood, as you know, Red, has its roots with Adolf Hitler.
Yes,
and Al-Mana in 1928 forming. I mean, you're dealing with Nazis here, right? This is what I think really people need to come to terms with, that really the Muslim Brotherhood, and you mentioned them, they are Nazis, and they work like Nazis, they act like Nazis, they are Nazis. The two fused, Islam and National Socialism, fused in the 1920s, and they became a huge monster, and in the 1950s and 60s, it became a problem for Saudi Arabia, and they did not know what to do with it. So they came to an agreement, and part of that agreement was that they would furnish the schooling and education as long as there were no terrorist bases for the Muslim Brotherhood, which, of course, would become al-Qaeda and all these other terrorist organizations. And they would form Wahhabist schools, which would teach terrorism. And it's from the Wahhabist schools that they got their involvement. And then they started getting into financing of various terrorist groups around the nation, around the world. And they are the terrorist link for all terrorists that literally that are Sunni, Muslim related, which would be al-Qaeda, ISIS, and so many of the other offshoots that range all the way around the world, including the Philippines, Indonesia, and so on.
And it is absolutely Saudi Arabia
behind
it. If anybody wants to look at the roots of this and some of the history of it, you can look up a very important but little-known piece of history. Look up the Siege of Mecca in the late 60s, early 70s, where the members of the House of Saud basically revolted against the Saudi government, against it. They actually seized Mecca and held Mecca and held the Grand Mosque. And there was weeks of warfare that actually occurred in Mecca. It was not largely reported by the Western news because at that time, if you weren't Muslim, you couldn't enter the holy city. But basically, they had a revolt in the House of Saud that was eventually brought to an end by French commandos. There's a very interesting story about these French commando teams that went in. The Saudis actually had them convert to Islam before they were able to enter the holy city to conduct the operation against the rebels. And the rebels were trying to break up that Wahhabi control of the House of Saud in Saudi Arabia. It has its roots almost 50 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, it goes that far back.
We do have a comment in the chat room, and they're asking, is it possible that the bogus terrorist activity attempt is chaos leading to martial law in order to disrupt the presidential election?
And the answer would be yes. That's a very strong possibility, and that's one of the things that we didn't get a chance to get into, but that's a very, very strong possibility that that's what this is. That's one of the reasons I emphasized in the last hour. I said, why are they coming out so quickly with, this is a terrorist attack?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's called a clue.
Well, that's
and the person in the chat room is exactly right. They picked up on that.
Well, yeah. I think in a lot of ways, the idea of martial law as an operational form has been harmed through a lot of the things that are going on. I don't know how valid or viable martial law would be at that point. And I think they're trying very hard to correct that so that they can keep it as a tool in the box.
Yes. And look forward to various additional events coming up. I mean, we saw this event with Hillary Rodham Clinton being sick, last week. And of course, there's a lot of talk about replacing her right now in one of the articles that we're running right with. And I talked to Roger Stone last week, who was one of the advisors to Donald Trump, talked to him on Monday. And subsequently to that, listening to what he had to say, because he broke the news that the DNC is looking to replace Hillary Rodham Clinton with, and are you ready for this, Michelle Obama. And that's Roger Stone talking. So I said, gosh, Roger. And so I looked into it, and I talked to two people that were in the DNC, or are in the DNC, and that is the conversation that's going on. That is the conversation that's going on.
Well, we do know that the DNC is, well above and too legitimate to ever break the rules or bend the rules or do anything. Hey, Paul.
We do have a caller on the line. We have Andrew and Bernie, and he's calling in about Gladio.
Good morning. Hi there. Refresh my memory on Gladio. Oh, by the way, Obama Sanders, what a ticket. It could happen, but go on.
It would never have happened, and Bernie Sanders would never get.
Okay. Gladio. I can't recall what the hell. There's so much information out there.
Operation Gladio was initially formed in the closing phases of World War II, where the OSS and British intelligence services, and the OSS is what would eventually become the CIA, formed several groups of spies, saboteurs, things like that, in countries like Poland, Hungary, Romania, that would remain behind the Soviet occupation and would continue to report on the Soviets, sabotage, things like that. That program Gladio was eventually adopted in NATO countries in what became known as Gladio Stay Behind units. These were military units that were trained and designed to act as guerrilla warfare, to act as intelligence sources, to act as saboteurs in case of a Soviet invasion. These people would basically stay in place, and as the Soviets invaded, would go active. These units operated independently of any regular command structure. In many countries, even the presidents, the parliaments, things like that, were unaware of their existence. They didn't behave as a normal military function. They blended into civilian life. If they knew about each other, it would be in small contained cells of 5 to 10 of them that even knew about each other. They weren't aware of the larger command structure.
The person whom you're trying to...
They were technically disbanded in 1990 when the wall came down. Those stay-behind units were also active in the United States, and in 1990 when they were quote-unquote disbanded, they actually remained intact and shifted to what became known as Gladio B, where they were to stay in place and watch the United States government for subversion by communist and socialist forces, and to go active at that point if the command authority at that time felt that the nation itself was threatened to the point that it couldn't right itself through elections or other constitutional processes.
I thought I knew what it was, and I was wrong. Wow. Okay, well, thank you for that, and I'll keep listening. Thanks again.
All right, thanks for calling in, Andrew.
Thank you. And did we lose Paul?
Yeah, the call dropped. I'm trying to get him back.
Okay, he may have to run, too. I know he's getting ready to go on the air here pretty soon.
There he is, I think.
The person whom you're trying to reach is currently unavailable.
Yeah, it sounds like we...
And we might have lost him. He stayed with us as long as he could.
We want to thank Paul for being on and bringing on some of the information. And there's so many moving parts with what's going on right now. And trying to keep your finger on it and watch the different puzzle pieces move is an exercise in...
That's what's really scary, is you think that you know all the moving parts. Mm-hmm. But like you say, it's so deep.
It
is so widespread.
It's global.
At all levels. I mean, it's just is so mind-boggling to a point. And you have to rely on other sources to get the information, because you're hearing all of this on mainstream media and normal
news outlets, correct? Yeah, sure, yeah. We are. You
well,
know.
That's things like Gladio and the Stay Behind units and things like that. Most people have never even heard of that, but it's all there. It's not conspiracy. It's not tinfoil hat talk. You know, the government's admitted themselves that those units were in creation. The Italian president came out and said, yeah, there's those units that are operational in our country. We have no idea who they are. We don't know how many of them that we are, but we do know that they were there. We think they might have moved into criminal enterprise. We're not sure.
Right. But there's been operations like that going on for, you know, decades.
There have.
And keep going on. And there's no way
continue.
That you... Yeah, and will continue.
And the conversation I had was that the American Gladio units have become hereditary and generational, which means that they have continued functioning. They're passing on the training and the mission to their family, and that they are still recruiting.
And I have no doubt about that, because that's the way those operations work and keep working and keep everybody...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But for most Americans, you go out there and you tell them that, and they're going to look at you like you just grew a second head.
Right.
But if they but if they take the time to do their own investigating, it's right there. It's easily seen.
That's it with most all the information, if not all the information that we go over and expose. It's all there. You may have to do some digging, and you may have to weed some stuff out.
Yeah.
But it's there.
And anything that we say, we're more than willing to back up with evidence and go, you make up your own mind.
Right. Exactly. You know,
we don't
show
just,
us something different.
We just don't shoot from the hip on it.
Yeah. And with that, we have Lori in Redding on the line. Good morning, Lori.
Yes, good morning. This is so amazing to have the front line so loaded up today with all of you. I mean, just having Paul, he's a very solid trooper, just phenomenal. And I hope Mark can listen to the archive. Anyways, I have a little shout-out for the folks in town. If anyone else saw the Edward Snowden Live, I believe it opened on Wednesday night, and there was a handful of us, maybe about 25, 30 people. So I wouldn't mind kind of hearing other people's feedback. I was stunned at how bad it was, how awful it was, and how earnestly Edward Snowden tried to navigate it and tried to make a horrible decision, and he finally did. He just said that all of us need to know we're being
lied to
horribly. Yeah, and I left a little bit extra paranoid, which isn't fun. So anyway, that would be great. But we are definitely having techno wars, the hacking, the election topic you just brought up earlier today. And then we're mixing it here with the bioterrorism as well. So, I mean, it just feels like we're just being put into this very dark corner unless, as you say, we have to become citizen journalists. Yesterday I took pictures at the Sundell for the cancer kids annual walk, awareness walk. And I ended up taking almost 200 pictures. It was that bad. And I'll share with you this. There are two giant double X's. So whether that's for the state of Jefferson, I do not know. But I will be sending some pictures out later.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot, right, Lori, for calling in.
You know, and Lori's right. Engage. You have to become citizen journalists. You have to become aware. You have to start investigating. You have to start asking questions again.
Yes, question everything. And when you find out the answers, pass it along.
Yeah,
you need to pass the information along, because there's no way one person can obtain all the information of what's going on out there. It takes us all to make this happen the right way.
Yeah.
And to get where we need to go.
And it's be unafraid. Be without fear. And
even if you have fear, you still need to stand up. I mean,
if people are going to look at you crazy, to hell with them. That's their loss. You know, if you can find something and research it and run it down to where you can prove it, verify it, show it, don't be afraid to put it out there. And if they don't listen, move on to the next person they may. Because we really have to take this fight one person at a time sometimes.
Yes.
And
but at the same time, it's not one person alone. If they realize that, you really aren't alone.
Mm-hmm.
There is other people out there that understand, that know, that will help. But you got to know that and to stand up and move along and pass it on. If you hoard it, then nobody knows the truth. And that's what we're doing here. That's what you try to do with the Shasta Lantern and other outlets, is so people know that there is resources where they can go.
And understand there is the institution that we are facing is so monolithic. It is so powerful. It's overwhelming.
It is overwhelming. In a little bit.
But you eat an elephant one bite at a time. There is no silver bullet for this. There is no one simple solution and the whole thing goes away. That's why we have to work from the ground up. That's why we have to engage locally. Take your city back. Take your school board back. Take your water department back. Take your city back. Take your county back. Take your state back. Take your nation back. We have to go by little building
blocks.
Little
by little.
You know, that's one of the reasons that the state of Jefferson is so incredibly viable and vital for what we're doing is we're taking local control. We're building the beachhead. We're buying ourselves some breathing room.
Right.
For what's going on. You know, as we were talking to Katie this morning, our problems are larger than just Sacramento here.
Oh, yeah.
Because when you have people like Jerry Brown that is tied in to Quebec and British Columbia and the European cardboard and things like that, we got a global problem.
Yeah, and you're finding that in a lot of the government officials. You start tracking it down. It's not, like you say, it's not just California. It's not just the United States. You're talking other countries. You're talking across the pond, so to speak. You're talking, you know, various areas around the world.
You're talking about Saudi Arabia that is finally admitting after 40 years they're one of the biggest funders of terrorism worldwide.
Right.
You know, some of the things that are soon going to start coming out about the Mexican drug cartel and who's behind them and what's behind them and why they've shifted from methamphetamine to heroin because it's flowing out of Afghanistan and who they're connected to. There's
lots of money with that. Yeah.
Lots of money.
And that goes way back, even back to Vietnam.
It does.
Yes.
This is not a new process for the United States government and how they do things. You go back to Vietnam and the Golden Triangle of Cambodia, Laos, Southern Vietnam, and as the U.S. is getting ready to depart from Vietnam, the South Vietnamese government doesn't have any way to fund itself. Its troops are poorly trained. We're no longer pouring equipment into them. So what's the one way that they start getting money?
What better way?
They open up the poppy fields.
Yep.
Okay, so now we have this huge supply of heroin. Well, where can we unload it? Well, we here in the United States, hey, we got a problem. There's unrest in our ghettos. The civil rights movement's getting up and going. The people are waking up. Hey, let's scratch each other's backs. You need money. We need to pacify the people.
And they did. Excuse me. And it came in groves.
Yeah.
And kept coming for a long time.
We started shipping heroin in and destroying the inner cities and destroying the people. And the South Vietnamese got the money that they needed.
Yep.
We did the same thing with Reagan in the 80s and cocaine. And using the cocaine funds so that they were funding the counter-revolutionaries. The Sandinistas and things like that. And we're doing the same program again out of Afghanistan.
Yep. And we have been, how long we've been over in Afghanistan now? 13 years?
13, 14 years. I've talked to veterans that have come back and flat said, the only thing we're doing over there is guarding the poppy fields.
Yeah.
And that's what the damn fight is over there.
Again.
It's about who's running the poppy fields.
Yep. Who's running the drugs and who's going to get the money.
And where is the heroin flowing through? It's coming out of Afghanistan, into Turkey. It's disappearing into southern France. And then it's going into Central America and Mexico where it's being refined into the heroin. And it's traveling the drug routes around the cartels and right into our cities.
And all of the United States.
Right here into Redding, California.
Oh, yeah.
That is Afghani heroin that is on our streets.
And there's a lot of it because a lot of the people out on the street and in the community, I mean, it's very rampant in Redding, California. Heroin is, bad.
And for them, it's a business conversion, okay? Methamphetamine, you have a lot of problems with your addicts. Heroin addicts are sleepers. They're technically no problem. They're thieves. They're horrible thieves because... you know, you're talking that people have $200 to $300 a day habit for heroin. You know, they've got to get that money somewhere. It's a problem. So
it can be. I guess with that, we need to go to a break. if you want to call in and there's something you would like to discuss with us or have a question or comment, give us a call, 530-605-4567. This is KCNR.
Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see. I'm just a poor boy, I need no sympathy. Because I'm easy come, easy go, little high, little low. Anyway the wind blows, doesn't really matter.
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with me, John Whitmarsh from Access Mortgage. We know how to say approved. I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience. So call me today at 945-9660. Let's get you into your dream home.
Access Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 1096314.
Holiday Harbor, we've got it all for you. But we're more than just great houseboats. We have the vacation you have been looking for without the drive or airport hassle. Fishing boats, patio boats, 47-foot party cruisers, wakeboards, jet skis, and stand-up paddleboards. If it floats or you can pull it behind a boat, we probably have it for your enjoyment. Visit Holiday Harbor, exit 695 of Interstate 5, or go to LakeShasta.com. Holiday Harbor, your own vacation in town.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Dandelion, unique gifts and clothing is the hot spot in Reading for all things fashion. Dandelion carries an amazing selection of Brighton jewelry, all the latest clothing lines, and every woman's favorite secret weapon, Spanx. Shop wonderful gifts in all price ranges and receive the best service in town. Check out Dandelion at 1322 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Reading. Dandelion.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Coming to the Cascade Theater, the annual global film festival you won't want to miss. Saturday, October 1st, 7:30 p.m. at the Cascade Theater in Reading. The screening of the 2016 Manhattan Short Film Festival. Tickets available at the box office by calling 243-8877 or online at cascadetheater.org.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Redding Yellow Cab, and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Redding Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county no matter the hour. Call Redding Yellow Cab, and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
And we're back, and we're winding it down. I mean, we're down to the last 25 minutes of the show. It's gone by really quick. We've covered a lot of territory, a lot of information for the folks out there. You may have to go back and listen to the archives to pick some of the information up so you can digest it again. I mean, there's a lot going on there.
And a lot of those subjects are almost a show within themselves.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
If you want to get into the details and the background of it and... You know, I think that song sums it up pretty well, too, is, you know, you start looking, you start digging, you're going to get knocked down, but you just get up, pour yourself
and
another
do
shot,
it again.
Go again.
Do it again.
Go again.
And do it again. And with that, we have Nick in Redding on the line. Good morning, Nick.
It is a good morning. Hey, I called up Carl Bott here last week and got on him about having Mama Fergie on there, you know, the record Searchlight. And not having, I suggested he have Red and Mark on, and you too, Linda. And I think you guys ought to call up and tell him you're available now that Mama Fergie doesn't want to get picked on anymore.
Well, do you think she would like to come on our show on Sunday
Why
morning?
Why don't you call her and ask her? She won't talk to me.
Huh. Word has it she's taking a hiatus from Free Fire Radio.
Oh, so I guess that won't work.
I wonder why.
Yeah, what's the
matter?
What
is a hiatus? Does that mean you don't want to play anymore or what?
I don't know. I'm just disappointed. I just got done sharpening my teeth.
Hey, listen, that's not what I called about, though. I, too, went to see Snowden.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a wonderful show and really explains his position very well. I was wondering what you guys' opinion is. Is he a patriot or is he a traitor?
Well, I haven't seen the movie, but that's a fine line there. You know, if you're doing it to expose the truth to what went on, you might want to say he's a patriot.
Well, you know, I thought he was a patriot before I saw the show. The show touched upon a guy named... Brady, that it came out 10 years ago, went through the proper channels to say, hey, this might not be appropriate for what we're doing, and they ruined his career. And there was others, they insinuated, that came out that tried to blow the whistle through the lawful channels. And that's why Snowden did the drastic measures that he did. Now, him exposing what our government is doing behind our back, I think that's a patriot that would sacrifice his whole life
right.
to bring that out. And people need to look at a little bit further that he put some of our spies, our CIA agents, military in danger by doing this. Because, you know, look at how much danger our Congress and our president puts them in that isn't necessary, that is absolutely, you know, against the rules of... engagement against the Constitution of the United States.
How about Hillary Clinton's emails that exposed a Iranian nuclear scientist that was working for us and led directly to his execution?
Yeah, I wonder how constitutional it was for us to be selling arms to Al-Qaeda and ISIS.
Yeah. And you have to wonder if they, you know, the media just blasted Snowden right off the gate.
Oh, yes.
You have to wonder, why did they do that, you know?
And
look at the other side.
I wonder about that James Clapper. Is his name? Is that his name, James? Remember Clapper got in front of Congress and they asked him if they were spying on private citizens and he lied and said no?
Right through his teeth.
How come he hasn't been held accountable? That's just, you know.
Nobody's been held accountable for anything for, what, 30 years now?
So let's switch over to Bradley Manning. Now, Bradley Manning did basically the same thing that Snowden did. He released things to Julian Assad. And he went through, well, I guess he didn't go through the right channels, but, you know, they got a hold of him and put him in jail. Can you imagine the kind of psychological interrogation and drug mind-bending drugs that he's gone through?
No.
Yeah.
You know, here the guy is a Marine, and he comes out that we're doing something bad, and all of a sudden he wants to have a sex change operation. You know, look at what they did to Oswald. You know, they had him going to take the fall for killing Kennedy, and there's no doubt in my mind he didn't have hardly anything to do with it, if he had anything to do with it.
That's a whole nother couple of shows worth of discussion there.
Yeah, it
and
sure is,
who,
but you go back that
who
far
Jack
and you
Ruby
find
was.
Out the CIA is using mind control. And you bring it up to this scenario here, it's really, and all they wanted to do was discredit Manning. What better way to discredit a person than have a sex change operation?
Well, if you want to know about government programs and mind control and mass hysteria and things like that, I welcome people to go look at MKUltra, look at Project Bluebeam, and look at Project Mockingbird. And that ought to scare the living bejesus out of you.
And then they want us to respect our government. I think we've got the most corrupt government maybe in the world. What do you think?
Yep, I'm.
I
don't know about the most corrupt, but they're playing cards with everybody else that's right there.
Yeah, there's a problem, for very sure.
Well, anyway, everybody should go see Snowden and keep in mind that he probably didn't want to do what he did.
No, I can't imagine that he did.
Yeah, it could have been an easy choice
or an easy decision.
Yeah.
Lori just called in and wanted to pass along a clarification. She said Snowden gave the information to the media so he wouldn't be a spy.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, then they covered it up. They misreported it. They weren't going to do the duty of the press and dump the information. I think there's still things that are being held back. I think that there's still more information that's going on out there. And really, at what point does it become your duty as an American citizen to report your government when they're acting illegally?
Well, you know, I'm afraid to really badmouth anybody around the city of Reading because of repercussions.
Well, that's a different deal. We live in Gotham.
Hey, thanks for having me. Have a great day.
All right, thanks for calling in.
Bye.
But you bring up a good point. When is it your duty? When do you draw the line, or how do you draw the line?
I don't think there's one standard answer that you can put down in the book. This is the rule. I think that comes down to the individual and each man who knows himself and his own heart, and as a sovereign being, has to make that decision
And
on
I think
his
it
own.
Depends on what it is, what the information is. Or what it is that you're trying to get out there to the people to let them know. There's different degrees.
There is.
That you may have to act upon something much quicker on one instance versus another.
Yeah, I can see both sides of the argument with Snowden. But I'm sorry, what is more important, national security or our internal liberty? And for me, liberty will override security every time. And that's the issue that you have between Snowden was our security damaged? Yes. Was our liberty helped? yes, for me, liberty is more important than security. So in that, for me as an individual, he did the right thing.
So if you do a Red Fox 4 or on
yeah, if you prioritize it, if you run it down and decide, yes, for me, Snowden did absolutely the right thing.
And like I say, and the media, blasted him so quickly and painted a whole different picture. And we, I don't know, I just get a little, my hair stands up and goes, whoa, wait a minute, look at the other side. If they're so quick to do that, there's got to be another side to this story that they're not wanting the people to know.
Well, I know a lot of people look at the security situation and the things that are going on with our country, and they're okay with it. They're comfortable with it because it helps them to feel secure, and they believe that the ends justify the means. I have never been one to believe
never
that the ends...
Never let a good crisis go to waste.
I never believe that the ends justify the means, because if you are willing to get to an end or to win by any method possible, then what's the point? What are you? What have you become?
You've become them.
You're them.
Yeah.
And you don't get to come back from being them. You don't get to be them for a little bit and then go back to being...
Yeah, decide, no, I don't want to be them anymore. Let me back over on your side.
Yeah, it's that threshold's crossed. And at that point, you've lost your validity, you've lost your integrity, you've lost.
So. And with that, I think we need to go to our last break. And again, if you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
I've got so sick and tired of listening to what you got to say. I decided I just got to stand up and say so. Sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired of being treated this way. So I made my choice, gonna raise my voice and say it's time for you to pack up and go. You know who you are, you lying soul and soul. I'm gonna stand up and say so. I'm gonna stand up and say so. I'm gonna stand up and say so. We're gonna stand up and say so. I know you're lying, cause your lips are moving. There's no use trying, cause you ain't improving. My opinion of you, it's time that you should pack up and go. I'm gonna stand up and say so. I'm gonna stand up and say so. I'm gonna stand up and say so. We're gonna stand up and say so. I've gotten sick and tired of you stealing my money to pay for jet airplanes and limousines. For crying out loud, you think it's funny. You and Bubba living above my means. A Chappaqua living like kings and queens. I've got so sick and tired of listening to what you got to say. I decided I just got to stand up and say so. Sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired of being treated this way. So I made my choice. Raise my voice and say it's time for you to pack up and go. You know who you are, you lying so and so. And so I'm gonna stand up and say so.
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
What shall we do about them?
This is your life. Good to the last drop. Doesn't get any better than this. This is your life, and it's ending 1 minute at a time.
Tired of watching California burn down around your ears?
Tired of watching your rights stripped away?
Finally ready to do something about it?
Join us,
Red Smith
and Wynn Carpenter,
in the fight for the Jefferson Free State.
Every Sunday, 8 to 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460, Free Fire Radio.
It's only after you've lost everything that you're free to do anything.
Riders in the Sky are coming back to Redding's historic Cascade Theater this month for another serving of fun. America's favorite yodeling cowboys will take you on a thrilling ride to yesteryear as they salute iconic star Roy Rogers. Riders in the Sky at the Cascade Theater in Redding, Saturday, September 24th. Take the kids. Take the whole family. Tickets at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista. Summer is here and Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop on the way to the lake. We barbecue every Friday and have everything you need to maximize your summer fun. Stop by the deli for daily specials under $5, sandwiches made to order, and hot food served all day. With over 1,000 cold drinks, more than 250 beers, a full liquor and wine section, and the best meat prices you'll find anywhere, Mighty Fine pairs big store selection with small store service. Mighty Fine is just a short drive east of Redding at the corner of 299 and Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista. Locally owned and operated since 1977, Mighty Fine.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
As I watch the politics on TV, I am reminded of my college political science instructor, Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. He said that no matter what a politician said to get in office, once there, self-preservation became the most important thing. In other words, keeping the job became more important than doing the job. Benefit to the country became secondary. He was a little cynical because he had worked in politics for many years. Politics in Washington was never meant to be a lifetime occupation. Citizens were expected to serve a term or two and then return to private life. Politicians were never meant to become wealthy in office, yet we see reports of individuals amassing millions of dollars while in office. It's time to vote for America's interests first. Become an informed voter. To do less is a disservice to your country. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
Broken glass everywhere, people pissing on the floor, you know they just don't care. I can't take the smell, can't take the noise, got no money to move out, I guess I got no choice. Rats in the front room, roaches in the back, junkies in the alley with the baseball bat. I tried to get away, but I couldn't get far, cause a man with a tow truck repossessed my car. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Standing on the front stoop, hanging out the window, watching all the cars go by, roaring as the breezes blow. A crazy lady living in a bag, eating out of garbage pails, used to be a fag hag. Such a dance of tango, skipped the life and dango. A silk-on princess seemed to lost her senses. Down at the peep show, watching all the creeps, so she could tell her stories to the girls back home. She went to the city and got so did it. She had to get a push, she couldn't make it on her own. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes. It makes me wonder how I'm
all right, and we're back.
little bit different tune going there, but
little Grandmaster Flash.
you just never know what might come across the airwaves.
Yeah.
And with that, I believe we got Billy Bob on the line. He's got a comment for us. Good morning,
yeah.
Billy Bob.
Hey, I hate to bug you guys, but I just wanted to say that with Bob's producing and his bump music today, and with the expertise that both of you have shown, I think Mark could possibly retire.
That is the danger of taking a week off.
Yeah. No, I enjoy him, but you guys have done a tremendous job today.
Thank you.
Great guests, great information, and I just wanted to let you know that. Plus, I wanted to, what was it? I had about 1,800 things in my mind, but...
can you pull out one or two of them?
Oh, maybe, yeah. The sales tax that the county isn't able to vote on, city sales tax. Everybody shops in Reading, but all those county people don't have any say-so in it. That's one thing. Plus, oh, that's what I wanted to call. This Megan Rapinoe, and we've got streets named after her, and signposts up, and the soccer park is maybe, I don't know, maybe named after her, whatever. That's going to end. No way. She is disrespectful of the United States and this Kaepernick and all this. This is absolutely the biggest insult to a hard-working American patriot. So I'll let you guys go. Great show, you guys.
All right, thanks again for calling in, and thank you.
Yeah, and both subjects that could probably take up a good portion of a show by themselves.
In some ways, I don't even want to give them the airtime.
Well, yeah, that's the sales tax thing that's absolutely going to affect people from Shasta County, Siskiyou County, Lassen County, Tehama County, Trinity County. The sales tax in Reading affects everybody, yet you plebes better be quiet and go back to your farm. We don't want to hear from you.
And I wasn't referring to the sales tax. I was
with Kaepernick and Megan Rapinoe. And, you know, I respect their right to do what they're doing, and I hope they respect my right not to endorse them, watch anything that they do, have anything to do with anybody that associates them, buy any kind of gear tickets or associate with any institution or team that they associate with, and sure as hell not want any local institutions, streets, parks, or anything named after them.
I agree with that, and I would like to see them give all their money back that they've earned.
Yeah, to who?
To anybody.
They don't even know what they're protesting.
Yeah,
they're
they
idiots.
They're
idiots.
Yep.
You know, Colin Kaepernick, who is converted to Islam, does the idiot realize he plays with a pigskin for a living?
Well, okay.
I mean, literally, if you're Muslim, you're not allowed to
but
touch
let's
pork.
See.
But
wasn't his, both of his parents, well, black?
No, they're... Oh, well, you mean
his real parents
you
that
mean the
gave
sperm
him up?
Egg donor or
yeah,
the parents?
Exactly. And then he was adopted by white people?
Yeah.
We're
doing it. We're giving him airtime.
Yeah,
stop it.
All right. So.
Dang it, Billy Bob.
I know. See what you got started again, but, you know.
Yeah.
I do have a couple of announcements to get out. Yep. I want to say happy birthday to the Air Force. 69 years and going strong, you know. So there you go. Also, we have the Air Force Memorial coming up, Show and Shine at Anderson River Park, Saturday, September 24th from 10 to 2. They're going to provide a tri-tip dinner for $12. Again, that is on September 24th from 10 to 2. And then we have the first annual Northern California Military History Day, I guess you'd call it.
I think that's going to be fun.
It ought to be. Ought to be real interesting.
I think that's going to be one of those things my kids go, oh, Dad, really? And then when we get there, they're going to have a blast.
Yeah, exactly. And that's happening October 8th from 9 to 5 at the Benton Air Park. So there you go. And I guess we have a couple minutes left. Charles, you got a comment or a question for us? We only have a couple minutes.
Just to finally put a tie up the garbage bag that is the Kaepernick controversy and kick it where it belongs. the NFL, the sport, you know, the major pro leagues, the sports media, etc., they only count something as free speech when they actually agree with it.
Yep.
Take, for instance, Curt Schilling being fired from ESPN because he posted something on his face, on his own Facebook page that was critical of transgendered bathrooms. And look also at the media's criticism of Tim Tebow when he would kneel down momentarily to thank God for something.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't count that as free speech, but they're counting Kaepernick and Rapinoe as being free speech. So there's clear hypocrisy, clear double standard, and Frank,
What about the NFL and wanting to find players that were wearing 9/11 commemorative cleats?
Exactly.
Things like that. That's not okay.
They only count it as free speech if they agree with it.
Yeah. Very good.
Very good point there, Charles.
Thank you, Charles.
We've
got under a minute left, so. And I think we got one more quick caller here if we can get him in.
All right. Thanks, Charles, for calling in.
So, do we have one more to go, Bob?
Gary would like to speak to you off the air after we wrap up here.
Oh, okay.
We can do that.
Yeah, we're down to the bottom of the 3 hours. And remember that Katie Grimes will be at the Reading Patriots tomorrow night at 6 p.m. at 3270 Pacelli Lane.
Yep. And this is usually the part where Mark says a bunch of cool stuff that I don't remember how to say it. So I'll leave it. It is what it is, and it always will be, but that doesn't mean you can't change it.
And stay tuned for next week. You never know what we might bring to you. This has been KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
I am just a simple man working with my hands.
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. Federal investigators in Quantico, Virginia, are examining evidence from yesterday's explosions in New Jersey and New York. According to one federal law enforcement official, devices in both explosions included cell phones, but the New Jersey device contained evidence of a black powder explosive. The official says in the New York incident, the device that exploded had residue from an explosive called tannerite. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio says there's no evidence that the two incidents are related, but a connection has not been ruled out. All beaches have reopened in the Jersey Shore town where a pipe bomb exploded yesterday, shortly before thousands of runners were to participate in a charity 5K race. The vice presidential candidates traded charge and countercharge on the Sunday morning political talk shows. Republican vice presidential nominee Mike Pence says he stands behind Donald Trump's comments about Hillary Clinton wanting to do away with the Second Amendment.
His comment was that if she didn't have all that security,